Saturday morning. Time to start that Saturday morning routine. And what's a Saturday morning without... Well, yeah, that too. But you also gotta have... About Your House.
Oh, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by
Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online carolinafoundationsolutions.com.
Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Chilly, 32 degrees in the big Queen City, but warm, 58 today. Probably get up to 63, though. I'm just making a little prediction. Hope everybody had a great week. Good morning, Mr. George Hobel.
Good morning, Ray.
Good to see you this morning.
It's good to be here.
I've been so dang
springtime.
Busy.
I'm here for spring.
You're here for spring. Well, you know, around the corner. It's around the corner. Next month, we'll be here. Well, I'm going to go... fly off to summertime. Can't wait.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I'm excited. But that's neither here nor there about today. Let's talk about today. Great show. I'm excited, and I'm glad George is in the house. I hope everybody's having a great week. Saturday, sit back, just listen to the stuff for about 3 hours here. Call in if you wish.
This is the I guess it didn't rain or snow last Saturday, did it?
No. No.
But we've had a number of Saturdays with the winter weather.
Yeah. Friday nights.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been kind of neat. I love winter for 3 months and then go away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what's so beautiful and wonderful about this big queen city we live in is it's very seasonal. You know, you got fall, leaves fall off trees, it crunches.
I love it when winter is, you know, you can go visit winter 3 hours away and then come home.
You like that?
We don't like cold. No, I don't like cold. I do like snow. I don't even mind shoveling snow once every now and then. But we went last year to West Virginia.
Yeah.
To snowshoe.
Yeah.
And I'd never been there before.
Have you ever? Do you snow ski? Apparently,
I snow ski. Grew up in New York.
Okay, yeah, y'all. That's part of life up there. Yeah.
And
see, I'm a homeboy.
And I learned how. I'm 56. Yeah. Of course, last year I was 55 and learned how to snowboard.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully, the conditions, we had like 8 inches of fresh snow.
Right.
So when you're learning to snowboard, apparently it's normal that you fall a lot.
Of course. And it's like roller skating or something, riding a bicycle.
I fell no less than 100 times my first trip
downhill.
Down the slope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the second one, though, I pared that down to about 8 or 10. I did good.
Well, yeah. That's the rule of life and nature. You know, if you fall down,
you get up.
You get up and keep on getting.
There you go.
And by the end of the day, you'll master it and everything will be cool. Just like talking or anything else.
Yeah.
And that ties right into the question we were just discussing.
Question of the day.
You know, I asked George a question, and it's something we all could ponder. Are you courageous? Are you fearless? You know? And I asked George that. And, you know, you never think about it that much. This week, I think about some weird stuff. That's not really weird, actually, because in this time we live, this time right now, February 19th, 2022, fear really is, oh, God, it's ruled and driven the ship the past 2 years of our life. So, you know, and honestly, I consider myself fearless. I want to be fearless.
Yes.
Because, see, to be fearless, we'll learn quicker. We'll achieve more because we don't let things get in our way as much, if you get my gist. I know you're fearless.
If you step across the line into fear,
yeah,
it changes the dynamics of your whole life.
Well, it puts you from a positive to a negative.
You can't win. You cannot be a winner.
Nope.
And operate in fear. You can't do it. It doesn't work.
That's why I don't like where we are. That's exactly.
No.
And I know you're the same way. You know,
this whole thing with what we're dealing with in the world today is driven by fear.
Totally. Now,
the world is. I'm not driven by fear.
No.
I can look at that's it why and see all the fear, now, but no, I choose not to walk in that.
Exactly.
No.
Fear. I want to be fearless to achieve.
The thing about it, go forward.
When you learn.
When you can approach the day and know that there's fear out there, that other people in fear, yeah. But you're not going to walk in it. You'll see things that they can't see it.
I know.
And you know, we can look at a news report or where they're interviewing people on the street or whatever, and you can tell they're in fear, and you wonder. Why can't they see the truth that you see? Well, they can't see it because it's all filtered through fear, and you can't see the truth when it's filtered through fear. You can't see it. It's not there.
And you made a comment, and I agree 100%. That's why I brought it up, because now you say, or courageous. Well, it's the same thing. No, you can be fearless sitting down.
Not moving.
But you can't be courageous and sit still.
No.
Can't do it.
No.
Got to go.
And we're men of action.
Absolutely. Going to make it happen. If I make a commitment, I don't mean to make it about me. But, you know, I'm looking at people in general, and I'm talking openly to, I don't know, you listening? but fearless versus courageous. I just love the energy behind courageous. And to your point about walking down the street, you feel fear. It's a negative vibe. It's a negative energy if you're plugged in. But see, fear will prohibit you from feeling the energy.
Well,
you follow me? Because you're always, typically, not always, but you're defensive.
Fear makes you irrational.
It does. Makes you think weird.
It makes you driving your car alone with your mask on.
Yeah. It's fear. just reeks of fear.
I mean, is there any rationality to that?
No. None whatsoever.
How about walking down the street? Now, take aside from the fact that whether masks work or not, okay, there's a purpose for them. At least they tell us that the purpose is when you're in the company of other people.
Okay. Yeah,
right?
Right.
That somehow the mask protects you, protects me, whatever. But if you're alone, who's the mask going to protect? If you're walking down the street, if you're jogging, if you're jogging in the sunshine on the sidewalk and there's nobody jogging beside you,
right?
What's the purpose of the mask?
None. Oh, none. But that's fear.
It's fear.
It's all fear. It's all fear-based.
Fear will make you do things that are irrational.
And you know what bothers me about fear? You're not using your mind. You're not using your God-given intelligence. If you really understand human nature and nature and the universe, and you're connected.
If you want to go all the way.
But if you're connected to your maker.
Yeah. Oh, you can't have fear and faith.
Exactly. Fear is faith moving in reverse.
It's one of the other.
And that's what's got me about this. I went into a church meeting, and I had to wear the mask for an hour and a half. No!
No.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And that's my faith.
Yeah.
And you can't be fearless and stick to the faith road.
No.
Can you?
No, not at all.
Can't do it. People, wake up. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I just had to say that. Thank you, George. I mean, you know, it really, from a spiritual, real, truthful, just downright ground level stuff, this makes no sense. None. Not any. And, you know, call me what you want. I don't care. I still love you. I want to help you. That's why I show up. That's why I do what I do, out of love and doing it for the right reasons. I'm not here to put you down.
So I'm here
to help you.
Back to your question.
Yeah.
Fearful, fearless, or courage? Courageous.
Yeah. Courageous. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think you can be courageous without a mission. Because the mission is the movement. The mission is I'm going somewhere. I'm getting something done. If you don't have anything to do, you're not going to be courageous.
Purpose.
Which is a word that was Ray's word 2 weeks ago.
It's my word of life because put tools in schools.
Yeah.
Put tools in schools, folks. I'm excited. I haven't been this revved up, excited, and pushed and driven in 15 years probably because I feel it. That's what I'm talking about. Now, that's my problem. I don't push that on anyone. But, you know, it's all tied in to put tools in school. See, if you work with your hands, George, and you know this very well, if you work with your hands, not, you know, and you create something, you're going to screw up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that overcoming fear that's going to allow you to screw up and learn what you're doing. Right?
Yes. And creating anything. Or doing anything.
But see, that's why I see fear in so many kids. And even Darren, when he came in here, he had that fear. Hacksaw. And it's part. And Hacksaw will tell you, this anxiety we're dealing with in kids and mental health issues, all of it is tied to what? Fear.
I had a guy I was talking to this week, you asked me to reach out to somebody in irrigation.
Exactly. Okay? Sure did. Yeah.
So I've got a friend that does irrigation, landscaping, and I wanted to get him on the show because he'd be great to have a conversation with. And he said, no, I'm not. I really don't like public speaking. And I said, dude, there's only three people in the room. This what we're doing right now, Ray and you and me, Ray here, this Ray. This is not public speaking. No. This is just a couple of guys having a conversation, answering the phone, listening to some good music.
We're expressing our passion.
That's it.
Yeah.
Our purpose.
But he didn't get it, so he's not going to be here.
Fear.
That's what I'm talking about.
See, fear. Now, in the tie-in with communication, think about this one. What's the most important thing you do in life? You, me, him? What is it?
I eat.
It's communicate. George, is communication.
Yeah, communicate.
Never thought of it in the depth. It really, and there you go. The guy's afraid to talk about what his passion is.
It's his passion.
Duh.
I could have a conversation with him in the parking lot on his tailgate, and he wouldn't have a problem.
I know exactly. You put this little, put this in between them, and it goes to their head. They start,
goes to their head.
They overthink it.
That's where,
right.
That's where this whole mask thing goes to.
That's, you're exactly right.
And they don't want to take it off.
Right. That's right. See, it's fear. That's why I stay home more.
Fear will cause you to accept things, Ray,
yeah,
in your life that are not supposed to be yours.
Got it.
We got this thing up above the border with our friends in Canada, and there's a large portion of that population that is operating in fear, and because of it, they are accepting things into their life that don't belong in their life.
Yeah.
I know.
They're accepting the what do they call that? The Emergencies Act?
Yeah.
And they think it's a good thing. They think it's a good thing.
Taking care of them. No. Well, look, I'm not. You're right. But it's all around.
It's fear.
Yeah. Courageous. I love it. But you can't be courageous in the state of fear. And this goes, here's my point. We go up against a break here.
Yeah.
Kids, children, they're in fear beyond where they should be. And it's driving me silly.
Mm.
Okay, but I know. No, I don't have a college degree in psychology, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt we can fix it if we put some movement in it. We put thought in it. Let these kids create. Let these kids work with their hands. Let them screw
after
up.
After the break, I want to talk to you about a friend of mine down in Georgia. And tell you what he's doing.
Okay.
He's not going to call in today. We didn't set that up, but I was talking to him about it.
Right.
And I want him to call in. I'd love for him to come up here and get on the show. But he's in
Georgia.
He's just got, it's a bigger commitment.
Oh, I understand.
He's got to come from Georgia.
Sure.
But we'll talk about it later. He's doing what you're talking about.
What, put children to school?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Well, there's a lot of it going on. I just wanted to be here. I can't tell you. I can't have anything to do with Georgia, just like he's doing his thing. Congratulations. I love you.
Yeah.
Keep it up. You know, but we got to do something.
Yes.
There's your courageous. You know, you got to step up and do something. Okay? Why is that so damn weird these days? All right. We got Chaplain Curtis Drafton on the phone, founder of the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame. We're going to find out all about that. Charlotte's going to be the home of such. We'll talk to him. And coming up after Curtis, we've got Sarah Brigeman. She is head of workforce development at ABC of the Carolinas and the present CEO, Miss Amy Hicks, going to be in the house. Women in construction, and what's ABC all about? Hey, we'll find that out. We'll find it. Woo, we got a great show ahead of us. So come on back, get you some coffee. I'm going to talk to Curtis Drafton of the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame. We'll be right back.
I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same, sitting here resting my bones.
Welcome back to About Your House. You want to give us a call, talk to us, We love to hear from you. 704-227-8800. But now, on About Your House, I have Chaplain Curtis Drafton from the... Well, I'm going to let him tell you the story. Good morning, Curtis. How are... Hold on. Good morning, Curtis. How are you, sir?
All is well, brother. How's my brother Ray?
I am magnanimous, man.
All right. There it is.
I'm glad. I'm really tickled to have you on the show today. And introduction here is I have Chaplain Curtis Drafton from the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame. And after I tell you what he's about in his mission statement, I'm going to let him tell you his story and why and how and what's going on. And this is an intro because this is coming to Charlotte, as I understand, but I'm going to let Curtis tell his story. But the mission I read, and I'm going to let him expound upon that, every organization, every show, every business, they need a mission statement. And that mission statement wraps around purpose that I talk about a great deal. So you mind if I read that, Curtis?
No, go for it, brother. Go
okay.
For it.
To end veteran homelessness and provide access to wraparound services within a community that is designed and set aside for the women and men who have served this country valiantly.
You got it.
And there you go. Brother. So that's the mission. Curtis, where are you from? What's going on? U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame. Can you tell us the story?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, brother, that's the whole thing right there. That's the whole thing right there. When we look at the men and women who have put on the uniform and have served this country honorably, we then have to say, how can we honor them? And with the current numbers that we have out there in homelessness with veterans and unemployment with veterans, and the way that veterans don't really, for a large part, feel attached to their community, we want to build those bridges so that we lessen the numbers of homelessness, unemployment, suicide rates, and bring veterans into the life that they, that many times we thought we would come home to. You know, we thought we'd come home to, you know, safer neighborhoods, neighborhoods that accepted us, neighborhoods where it wouldn't be hard to get housing, neighborhoods that helped us in the everyday aspects. And if that's not the case, then there's a little bit more work we have to do. And in our minds, who can care for a veteran better than another veteran, you know? And that's
Absolutely.
What we started this institution upon. And I know that there's literally 44,000 in America, and that it kind of speaks to how they're not being supported in a way that we would hope they would. There's 44,000 organizations that say they help veterans in their mission statement, their name, their purpose. But because they're not getting the support, meaning the financing, the resources, then another institution such as ourselves, what we can do to lessen the blow of how we're being rejected by a lot of corporations is let's come together under an umbrella. And that's what the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame is. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel in any one of those aspects, but let's bring the better of the best together. And then as we bring the resources together, we can filtrate that down through the organizations that are getting it done.
Awesome. That is great. Well, I want to bring to light, you know, something we don't see enough. We shouldn't see at all, and that's homelessness with our veterans. There's a tremendous amount of veterans in Charlotte, North Carolina, walking the streets, homelessness every day. And you know, they need this. They need us. They need the community. And we need to step up and help. And on that note, I want to share, not to pull it this way, but we've got an event coming up April 2nd that ties right into part that could help this issue and this problem of homelessness, not only with veterans, with other men and women that are out there and that are down. And it's the Put Tools in Schools Trades Career Fair. There's a lot of opportunity because a lot of these guys don't know where to go or how to get up. And gals and girls, I mean, guys and gals, veterans. So I just want to throw that out there to you, Curtis. I didn't even, there again, I didn't even think about that, but it's opportunities. It's a way that we can give back and support our veterans that have given the ultimate sacrifice in so many ways. I mean, they're homeless. What's your plan? I mean, for this new thing coming to show. I had no idea, Curtis. I read the website and read this, and it's big. And so tell us a little bit more about what's going on, the Veterans Village, you know, and all this is going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's bigger than I thought it was, and tell us more.
Yeah, Ray, so first off, let's jump back to your point about the unemployment that we should not see amongst our veteran community. You know, the one thing I've noticed, and a lot of others have noticed, is that a lot of veterans are unemployed because they don't know the terminology of trading their skill sets from the military into civilian world. So myself, for instance, I was a 25 uniform, second stick support, you know, flagger. So basically, I'm on the ground. I'm doing signal operations. I'm doing all kinds of mechanical things. When I get to the civilian world, how do I tell employers that I can do, for instance, at the phone company, that I can do exactly what it is that you do, but in my terminology, my liturgy? And so one of the things we're working on right now is we're trying to get permission from DOD that as men and women are ETSing, meaning coming out of the military, that there's a 30-day window or maybe just a week or two where we have access to that individual to tell them the certain words they need to say in interviews or to tell them how to write a resume, you know, because coming out of the military, we'd like to think that there's a decompression period for the men and women, you know, coming back from overseas, for instance, or just ETSing off of their normal active duty service into veteran world. There's never a time when civilian life is taught to someone who's been in uniform, who's been in Army Green or Air Force Blue or Marine Corps, you know, red and gold. They've never been taught how to be a civilian, right? And
they walk into the
doors of these employers. They're feeling gung-ho. You know, I'm going to get this job because I know I'm a great individual and I've got a work ethic unlike any other. And then they sit down in front of an application and it's speaking a third planet, you know, kind of language. And they're like, well, what are they asking me here? And so they write down what they think they can say on the resume, as opposed to what the resume is at, or rather the job title is actually looking for.
Right.
And then they fail to get the position, which leads to a frustrated veteran who knows that they're a great person, but they didn't get that job that only pays even $12 an hour. They're like, what did I do wrong? And that really hurts the psyche. And it hurts the way that they approach the corporate world. And oftentimes that hurt leads into their family life. So it's a whole expounding problem only because we're not educating, you know, our veterans on how to do things in the civilian world, which they shouldn't have to be educated. Honestly, I think the civilian world and corporate America need to have a little bit of terminology from the military so that they can catch on to some of the things that we say the way that we say it and know that we are applicable to that portion of life. But in the meantime, let's see if we can't tap DOD. But back to your second part of the question is, this huge project is coming to North Carolina. Ray didn't hear about it, and there's a reason. You know, we actually
I don't listen to the news. I got to admit that. I unplug, brother. I do not listen to news. And this is the downside right here. You don't hear the good stuff. But exactly. Curtis, before you go further, I gotta expound upon what you just said.
Yes.
Where I'm at right now with kids, there's no difference. Mm-hmm. We're not teaching our kids that either.
No.
No.
And that, man, that hits me hard because I never really related it. But you just said exactly what our kids are going through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that really bothers me. I mean, oh, wow. But I'm sorry. I just had to say that because there's such a... There's a tremendous example there. Wow.
Yeah. Well, Ray, with what you do by trying to get these tools back in schools, right? You saw a general problem, and that problem actually has had mile markers over the years, meaning we've seen a decline in high school graduation. We've seen a decline in trade school and trade job kind of skill sets coming from kids 18 years old coming out of high school. You know, we've seen less mechanics, we've seen less electricians and plumbers, and we're wondering, like, well, what's going on? Why don't they like the trade? It's because they're not exposed to it anymore. Well, the same can be said for the man or woman who signed up at 17, 18 years old for ROTC. you know, they were pulled out of that world completely and taught Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps. You know, now we got Space Force, you know. So they're teaching all of these things, right? But they're not saying, hey, once you decide to take that uniform off, or the guy and girl going into college, if the banking world doesn't work, you got to know how to use your hands, right? You got to know how to assess problems.
That's life. We're born with two hands and a mind. That's it, human nature. That's the way we were put here. I go, like exactly. I say, I take it right back to ground zero. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's what makes us happy. That's what gives us purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's it, man. That's it. And, you know, the old folks used to tell us, you got two eyes, two ears, and only one mouth. You are supposed to be taking information in with your eyes and ears more than you are to be talking. However, if the person who's talking to you is not teaching you something that is more viable for a realistic world, you are going to be on a certain level, and that level could lead you in poverty. It could leave you in depression. You could become one of the statistics that are on the negative side of life, you know? So we have to better equip our young men and women in the schools, in communities, in the military, and then post any one of those portions of life. They should have the basic principles and necessitable tools to go out and build a life from the innovation that they can create over the years, from the information that they learned at 16, 17, 18 years old. That's the info we have to, no matter what. I don't care if you're 60 years old, you have to always use those tools at some point and sharpen them. You know, here I am now, I'm 44 years old, right? If I come in the house and a light goes out in my house in a certain room, I already know. Let's check the bulb. Okay, it's not the bulb. Let's go check the breaker. If it's not the breaker and I check the breaker box real good, pull the fuses out, now I know I have a wiring issue, and I know how to go in the drywall and address or trace the line to that particular problem. Well, that's because I grew up in an age where, man, when I went to high school, we had wood shop, we had electrician's courses. It was very basic. It wasn't really, you know, the deeper courses.
Well, but you got to engage it. I mean, it's exposure. They don't even see it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so the one thing is that I noticed personally on why we started this project 3 years ago was I was the homeless veteran, okay? So in 2012, my fiance was diagnosed with acute lymphatic cancer. And in 2012, August, she died from that cancer. I lost the house. I lost our car. Her bills were somewhere around $213,000 from chemo and different treatments for her cancer. I lost everything. And the first thing I did, Ray, is I went to the VA. And I walk in. I was like, yeah, you know, I need some help, man. And the first thing they told me is, well, we don't have a stipend for that. I tell you what, stay on your feet, come back in 6 months, let's review this, let's see if we found out any more information on how to help somebody in your situation. And I'm like, what? Like, wait. There has to be something for our veterans who don't know how to adapt to a new part of life, because all I know is how to take orders from an E6, you know,
yeah.
and get things done for him or her. And they're like, well, you know, man, there's organizations out there to help you. I'm like, yeah, but you're the VA, the Veterans Administration or Veterans Affairs Services. You guys should have a list, because I know I'm not the first, you know, grunt out of the military under the sun to have gone through a situation similar. How do we address this? And they're like, there is no we, there's you. You're telling this to a person that only knows teamwork, because in the Army, there is no such thing as, oh, that's really just my order. No, it's my unit's order. It's my platoon's order. You know, that's why we have platoon leaders. This guy has had a meeting with, you know, the higher-ups. They disseminate the information down. They give us our marching orders. We roll out. We get it done, and we're not allowed to stop until we get it done. So, yes, there's individual assignments, but we are a machine. You know, so when that situation happened to me in 2012, Ray, and I go to the VA, and there's nothing there for me. I go to a VFW. The VFW raised like $1,000 for me at some point, but not immediately initially. And so I struggled, man. I was homeless for like 8.5 months living in Texas. And I didn't know that it would take that long, because once we, you know, in ROTC, what do? We raise our hand after they tell us, hey, you're going to get the life you always dreamed of. Mom and dad are going to be proud of you. You're building a legacy. This country's proud of you. So many opportunities are ahead of you. But they don't tell you that for the duration of your contract, all you're going to know is military orders. And that towards the end of that, there is no phase that teaches you, okay, now you can start to deprogram from that and be programmed in the way that the world is going to need you as an old man, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I ran into. And fast forward to 2017, I actually helped start a smaller form of this project for North Carolina. But there was not enough, there weren't enough wraparound service options. I mean, I get it. People hear the name, U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame. Well, what do they think? Hall of Fame only, meaning that once a year you put a medallion around somebody's neck and you say, hey, thanks for your service. Well, Ray, that's not honor. That's recognition. That's me saying, Ray, I saw that you wore the uniform. I'm proud to call you my brother. Well done.
That's awards However, day, yeah.
Yeah, it's an awards. It's an award. And yes, it means something. But the bigger thing is, let's look at the definition of the word honor. If I'm honoring Ray, outside of the recognition night where I give you that medal, let's ask Ray or this other veteran that's out there, hey, now that the ceremony's over, the lights are off, the balloons, they've flown into the sky because little kids walked out the door with them and let them go. When you go home, Ray, are your lights off? Do you have food in the house? How about your work situation? If you're able-bodied, do you need to get work? Do you have work? Are your bills caught up? That's honor, right? Because here's the deal. When we use the word honor now, it's become very cliche with strictly a trophy, a plaque, award. We have lost the empathetic spiritual side to the word honor, such as if I'm honoring, because I am a chaplain, if I'm honoring God, I don't really get the time to give him anything tangible, you know, like a plaque or an award. How do I honor? I honor by saying, man, thank you for everything that you do. Now, what can I do for you?
Gratitude. Yeah.
It's gratitude, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's something that we get to do every day, is because if only once a year we're holding that ceremony, what are we doing the other 364 days a year? Well, the Veterans Hall of Fame, what we're doing around the country, and you saw some of our videos and our info, we're out doing disaster relief. When COVID came, we did PPE distribution. We did food distributions to neighborhoods. And people are like, wait, you guys don't have to do this. You're the veteran. We should be helping you. Well, we hear that a lot. However, one thing that we are is when we hear the call to serve our country, we go do it, man. So during COVID even, man, we passed out truckloads of food. At one situation, we fed 542 families with 2 weeks' worth of groceries. And people were pulling up like, well, I thought you guys were just going to give me, you know, a chicken and you know, a couple vegetables. No. Your family needs to eat. You need to sustain until that next check. Ray, we had people getting out of their cars, breaking down, crying. I didn't expect this from you guys. But that's the whole point, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We see a need. What do we do in the military? We go above and beyond, man.
Absolutely.
For various reasons.
That discipline. See, I've been in the military.
Yeah.
And that discipline created in the military, and this is absolutely wonderful to listen to. I mean, sad, true, but it's in your face that this is a reality that we're living with.
Yeah.
And wow, you know, and this discipline is the difference. We've lost that.
Yeah.
Haven't we? We've really lost it. But
yeah.
Okay, you're on a roll. Keep going, brother.
So yeah, man, it's like this for us every day. Every day, 0700, we wake up and we talk about the issues that matter, such as, did we hear about a tornado? Did we hear about some kind of downfall in a community? Are there protests going on? To whereas we can be a reasoning voice. For instance, a year and a half ago, they had protests in downtown or uptown, they call it Charlotte. And, you know, my teammate, retired Colonel, Army Colonel Frederick Dubois, he gave me a call. He said, man, it might get crazy down there. I said, you know what? But they'll listen to us. And we talked about it and said, you know what? They will, because we bring a reasoning voice. So we went down there with several cases of water, bottled water. We went down there with PPE, and we told both the cops and the protesters as they're staring each other down like a Wild West scene, man. Hey, guys, if you're going to be out here, number one, be respectful. Two, make sure you're hydrated. Three, make sure you're safe. There's a virus going on. We can't afford to have our first responders get sick. We don't want you guys to get sick. We want to hear what you got to say, hear your voices. But there's a respectful way to do it. And I kid you not, Ray, this was the Monday after there were all kind of like reports of instability in uptown.
Media's going to blow it up.
Oh, man, they blew it up good, too. Like, oh, guys, if you come
sick
down,
and tired of that crap.
Bring something to cover your face because you might get pepper sprayed and this and that. Well, we were down there right in the heart of it, you know, shaking people's hand. Hey, it's good to see you. Hey, police officers,
right.
We love
exactly.
you, man.
Yeah.
Let's take a picture together. You're my brother, just in another uniform. And they're looking at us like, these guys are all right. And we're down there taking pictures with both protesters and police.
That exemplifies the pushing of fear. I got to take a break here. You know, the media is driving fear, and there's you another example. Wake up. Curtis Drafton from the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame going to finish his story when we get back, and he's going to be back on the show as we progress through this, and we're going to offer him a platform for the help he needs. We need, actually. It's not about him, me, or any. It's us. We're in this thing. You know, life is full of we. We. It's all about us. Not me, not you, but us. We'll be right back with more about your house.
Lay down, Sally. No need to leave so soon. I've been trying all night long just to talk to you.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409. Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes.
Giddy up, 409.
Before I knew there would be a time.
Giddy up, 409.
When I would buy a brand new 409.
409.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up,
409.
Nothing can touch my 409, 409. Ooh, giddy up, giddy up. 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 When I take her to the drag, she really shines. She always turns in the fastest time.
Giddy up, 409.
A four-speed dual quad positive traction
409.
You came out of that.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, 409.
Giddy up, giddy up,
409.
Giddy up, 409. Okay. Excuse me. Welcome back. About your house. A little deep discussion here, but real. And Chaplain Curtis Drafton's on the phone talking to us, describing and telling us his story. And we got about, Curtis, you there?
I'm here, brother.
Good. I got about 15, maybe 14 minutes, okay? So I want you, and man, I'm so grateful you showed up. Just showed up, you know? And thank you, Vicky, for pulling us together, however it happened. You know, that's how the universe works, you know? You put the energy out there, and you make it, you go in a direction, and you think great things goes into that courageous. And here we're talking to a courageous man, Curtis Drafton, you know, to step up and do what you're doing. Now, tell us your goal. We know we got a lot of problems. We do, but I think the U.S. Hall of Fame right here in the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame in Charlotte headed in the right direction for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, brother, the key thing that you said there is we have a lot of issues going on. I think the first part is for the past 2 years, Ray, the country has really had a spotlight put on it globally where we are seeing the issues. I remember I was over in Germany – And when I was coming back, this is 2.5 years ago, I took a little hiatus there for like 3 or 4 days. And as I'm coming back, people at the airport were even telling me, or asking me rather, man, this is going on in America. X, Y, and Z is going on in America. And I'm like, oh, man, that's not a good look. You know, and that's the one thing we shot for in the military is you always want to have a good look with what is publicly seen. You know, we might have some behind the spotlight incidents, but we clear that up in-house. But when the world is seeing its greatest power falling apart at the seams socially, economically, politically, we got work to do. And so the way that we are approaching fixing the veterans' problems, or issues, I should say, is almost a cookie cutter on how we can fix many of our problems. So what do? You start at the root of it all. What caused the economic downfall? What caused political dissension?
What's the source of the issue?
What's the source, man?
Yep.
For many years, we've been plucking the petals off the flower or off the weed, a dandelion, which is actually good for you, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But we've been plucking the petals off. Nobody went to the root of a lot of these issues. And now what do we have? We have an atom bomb over here, an atom bomb over there. We have to get to the root of it. And so what we do is, for instance, with veterans issues, okay, if you see a guy or girl standing on the corner with a sign that says, hey, I'm a veteran, I could use some food, we don't pull up and say, hey, man, here's a Happy Meal. No. Hey, let's have a conversation over a meal. Get in the car. For one, if I really want to help you, if you're saying you're a veteran, just show me any piece of ID. And 99 times out of 100, they've got some form of ID that says, hey, I served. Whether that's the old veterans ID cards we have, or the now newly updated ones that came out like a year and a half, 2 years ago, they have a form of ID. At that point, we can sit down. Let's break bread. Let's hear where the ball was dropped. Was it a job issue? Was it a mental health issue? What kind of issue took you out of the dream that you had? Well, guess what? In the civilian world, they can do the same thing. You can walk up to that civilian and say, where was the dream dropped? They may not have served, but everything that we do on this side of the water, you can do on that side. So one of the big things that we have, because we're going to focus a lot, 99% of what we do, on the veteran community. And I'll tell you why the other 1% is not veteran effective initially. But 99% of the issue is them not having either a claim in at the VA, not knowing about everything that they are eligible for, or not having access to get to the appointments that they need to make to check the boxes to get the benefits. And so we're creating programs now that what we're going to do is we are literally going to have a mobile task force. Their only objective every day will be in major cities to drive to, let's say, the homeless encampments or the homeless shelters and say, hey, do we have any veterans in here? When that veteran comes up to that vehicle, Ray, we're going to have an iPad that is linked to a connection with a VSO office or some sort of DOD attachment or even the VA, and just let's verify they're a vet. Then we can take them in front of a veteran service coordinator who can start the process of their claim and say, oh, man, you should at least be at 20%. When did you ETS? 2005, 2010, even if it was 2019. Well, guess what? A lot of people don't know this. The VA has to retro you the percentage that was due to you over the courses of those years. So you might have a guy or girl right now, Ray, sleeping under a piece of cardboard or in one of those little pop-up tents, they may have $20,000 with their name on it through their VA connection. But because the process got lost at some point, or they got lost in the shuffle, they fell through the cracks, this man or woman is now on the streets. They gave up on what is now, honestly, a tedious process. I've got many horror stories. My business partner, Colonel Dubois, does. We know a first sergeant. In fact, we just met, I kid you not, and the story was all over the news. We met a young lady who had served 23 years in the military, sleeping in her car. Sleeping in her car after 23 years of service. And so we called a couple of guys and girls, and within 24 hours, we found her shelter. We found out where the ball was dropped, and we found out what steps were needed next to end that situation, because a lot of people start and say, oh, well, she's chronically homeless. You should just give up on her. No. We don't give up. We leave no man, no woman behind, you know. And so just a couple of days into that, and we had the problem fixed. Such is the case for a family we just met 2 months ago. Family of five was put out of their house. The dad was a veteran. I think he served around 7, if not 8 years in the Army. And the mom was sick, and they had 3 small children. They were put out of their home. They went to a couple of local organizations, got denied as soon as he walked in the door. They were like, no, we don't do that here. You need to go on down the street. As God works, as the universe works, I'm at Walmart. This guy's walking through the parking lot. I didn't know his situation, but I saw his service cap on. It clearly said Gulf War veteran. And I'm like, hey, man, thanks for your service. Hey, let me just know who you are. And he sounded off nice and proud. He said, yeah, I served, I think, again, 7 years in the Army. Yeah, I'm just here in Charlotte with my family. I said, hey, man, well, it's great to see you. And I don't do this to every veteran, but something in my spirit said, give him your card. And I handed him my business card and said, hey, man, stay in touch. He said, hey, I appreciate you. And we walked away. He called me later that night and said, you have no idea. I looked at you guys' project, and here's my situation. And he spelled it out. We got put out of our house. My benefits haven't come through. I don't know what the next step was. Honestly, I had 10 bucks in my pocket when you met me. I was going in to buy what I could for 10 bucks to give to my family, and my next step was to drive away. He was going to desert his family. We don't know what on the other side of desertion he was going to serve, because as we know, in this country, we have 22 up to 24 and a half veterans every day checking out. You know, we're losing them to the mental health stress battle of suicide.
Suicide, absolutely, yeah.
But he said, I was going to spend this last 10 bucks, give my family the items, get in my car, and drive away. Well, here's the other side of how God works. He drove home with the food, gave them the food, went back out to the truck. The truck broke down. He couldn't leave. And that's when he was supremely frustrated. He said, man, I just thought I'd call you. I just want to talk. And so I stayed on the phone with him for roughly 2 hours. And he told me, he's like, yeah, man, but it's too much. And I kept telling him, I know. But the point in case of it all is, if the world doesn't seem like they need you, I need you. Those kids need you. He's like, why would you need me? Brother, we took this mission together, not of just the military, but of life. You accepted a calling, you believe it or not, because here's the thing. In any generation, somewhere around 15 to 18 years old, there's enough stress on anybody. Yeah. And we're seeing this now, and all the data's coming out. People 15 to 18 years old, they're checking out of here, Ray.
Killing themselves at an unprecedented rate, never before in the history of this country.
Never
and that's
before.
Part of it, you know, and I, man, it's just unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. So I told him, I was like, dude, if you didn't check out between 15 and 18, you accepted the calling. I need you. And I told him a couple jokes, and he lightened up. And finally, I was like, hey, meet me around the corner, because I knew where they were sleeping at. I said, meet me around the corner. So I said, where are you sleeping now? He said, over here in the hotel parking lot. I said, okay. I said, why are you in the parking lot and not in the room? And he told me, he said, well, at some point, I ran out of cash. I couldn't pay him. I got behind. They put me out. I was like, really? Oh, that's it? Well, let's go in the hotel and get your room back, because their stuff, like their clothing, was locked in the room. They locked them out of the room. So I went in and said, yeah, sorry about that. We're late. I'm joking with the guy at the counter. I said, hey, here's my credit card. Swipe it. Let's get these guys back in their room. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, and in fact, keep our card on file. Well, Ray, check this out. That was only $200-something, right? So then I asked him, well, your truck's broke down. You got to get back and forth to feed your family. You got to get back and forth to work. He's like, yeah, but I was told this is how much it'll cost. I said, I know what they told you. I said, now let's keep operating in teamwork. That's what they told you. They're not going to tell us that as a unit. And so we found out it was like $700-something. He needed motor mounts put inside of his, I think it's a Ford Expedition he drives. $700-something. I said, well, that's great. Well, guess what? I got an Army buddy who fixes cars. He said, no way. I said, let me call him and see how much it'll just be for me to get the parts in and for him to knock it out. We knocked off $500-something, $200, Ray. He's back on the road, getting to work, feed his family.
Spread the love.
Exactly, spread the love. So now we're at $400, right? So we're like, okay, now we got to get you out of this hotel and into a house. He says, well, all these local organizations here in Charlotte denied me. And he showed me the paperwork, and sure enough, a lot of them were like, no, 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 no. And I'm like, okay, well, we're going to get you a yes. And so we go down, we attach him to a VSO buddy of ours who's now retired, and they start the paperwork. They start the paperwork, Ray, and in 30 days, he was approved for a HUD-BASH, which many people don't know is your military housing loan if you were a homeless veteran. He was approved for it. And right. Now they moved into a house. So we completely, for under $1,000, got this veteran and his family off the streets. We got their car fixed. We gave them food. In fact, I think we gave them like $300 in gift cards from Walmart. So, and then at Christmas, we felt really good about ourselves, and we even helped them out a little bit with Christmas. So, because he said, man, I can't get the kids toys. No, you're going to get them toys. You just didn't know you were going to get them toys.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, he had been denied by some of the bigger names around town, and he's like, yeah, but I thought that's what their mission statement was, help veterans. And like, well, and I had to joke with him because I never want to throw anybody under the bus. They meant to do well, you know,
yeah.
But they weren't ready for your story. He's a good friend of ours now. His name's Jerome, but he's a really cool guy. His family's cool. In fact, when we first met them, Ray, again, that was two and a half months ago, we were having our induction ceremony for the Hall of Fame. And we saw how down-spirited his family was, and we were like, hey, we tell you what, you guys deserve a nice night out. Let's get all dressed up. And they're like, for what? I'm like, oh, you're coming to our ceremony. So we gave them a table at the ceremony where normally, you know, tables run about $1,000. We're like, no. This family needs something to boost their spirits. We'll write the – let's forget the $1,000. Just in a way, write it off. I mean, we're a nonprofit. We don't get to write off. People usually write off
for us. I understand. Sure.
But we were like, forget the $1,000. And they came and they were like, oh my God. One of the little girls even said, look at that chandelier. That's the kind in the cartoon. She had never seen a chandelier, right?
Awesome.
And I'm like, no, man. Come on. It's 2021.
I know.
This baby needs to see a chandelier. What we are doing, everything that we do, we give people a dream, a reason to live. We give them hope. And that's the name of the game, man. Just give people hope, a reason to keep trying.
So this is the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame's mission, exactly what the stories say, right?
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. I'm against the clock. We've gone beyond our limit. But no, not our limit on talking to you. We're going to bring you back, but we do need to wrap it up here shortly. But you're going to be back. This has been awesome, Curtis. Thank you so much. Spreading the love. Spreading the love right here on About Your House, folks. We're going to take a top-of-the-hour break. You're listening to Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Hear us anywhere. Stream it live. That's the best way. Go on your browser, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com, or if you're in the Charlotte metro area, 94.7 FM, Fox Sports Charlotte, About Your House. We'll be right back.
Nothing like a little breakfast to get you going in the morning. You know, they say it's the most important meal of the day. Of course, breakfast is always better when you can enjoy it with About Your House.
Well, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online, carolinafoundationsolutions.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
So good. anything was possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days, the rain was unstoppable.
All right, welcome back. Talking to Chaplain. No, the Reverend Curtis Drafton. You with me, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm no reverend. I'm just a chaplain, brother.
No, brother. No. I've been called Reverend Ray many, many times. So if I can get it, baby, you got it. So that's a term of endearment, brother.
Bless you.
I appreciate you. You don't know how much. And I appreciate your time this morning coming on. You're driven. You've definitely got a purpose. And wow. And we've been listening to Curtis Drafton on the air here, folks, co-founder of the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame. To be in a quick rundown, we're getting what's coming to Charlotte? What you've got a whole thing coming in here. So kind of in about 5 minutes, can you briefly tell us what it's all about?
I'll keep it under that so you can ask any follow-up questions.
But Curtis, you're going to be back on the show. This is kind of an intro. I'm going to get him in studio here coming up in the up-and-coming months, and we're going to keep up with this man and end his purpose. And we're going to help him. We, as a community, in the construction industry, and we're going to talk to ABC. But matter of fact, Sarah Brigham and Amy Hicks are in studio listening. They have been for the last 30 minutes, and they're listening, and you've pushed a few buttons here, so, and we'll get into that a little later on, because we have in Charlotte, I'll tell you this, Curtis, you know it already, Charlotte's full of industry, absolutely busting at the seams with industry, and every bit of that needs help. Every sector of that needs help, needs labor. And the one thing you can count on from a veteran, the problems he's having is between his ears, typically. And I mean that in a mental health perspective, okay? Yeah. And if we work together, the industry, we can offer a lot to the veterans that are in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we need to work on that. I want to throw that out there as a part of the Put Tools in Schools initiative, because it goes much further than kids and students. It goes to adults and, you know, fathers, mothers, the whole nine yards. There is no separation. I've been asked this week a lot of questions like, what age group are we dealing with? From when they can think to when they're almost finished, if that tells you anything. And that's a matter of, you know, it's all relative. We're here to help each other regardless. And so give us a synopsis, a nutshell of where we're going. Where the U.S., what is the U.S.? You've already told us what it is, your purpose. Now tell us where and what's happening.
Roger. So first off, we were looking at a position to build in Charlotte within the actual metro region. Now we're actually going to move that mission just a little bit north. As far as the Hall of Fame, which in many ways you would see as an institution, or some people even called it a museum because it has artifacts. But we're actually going to be building in the city of Concord, which is still somewhat the Charlotte metro region.
Oh, it's Charlotte north. Metro, no question.
Yeah. So we had a great meeting even just a week ago with the mayor up there, Mayor Bill Dush, along with City Manager Lloyd Payne, who's a retired Command Sergeant Major.
Awesome.
Of the U.S. Army. So, yeah, really good friends of ours. We had an outstanding layout meeting, and we're looking to build out there. Now, the portions of what you are going to see within the Hall of Fame, for instance, the Hall of Fame is going to be a 215,000-square-foot facility. So we're talking about the size of a massive warehouse. Why, some people say, and I'm like, well, do your veterans deserve any less? You know, so the fact that it's grand and it's large, it serves a purpose, because in that facility, we are going to tell a lot of stories that have never been told before. For instance, if I walked up to anybody and say, hey, have you heard of the Harlem Hellfighters? And they'll look at me like, what kind of comic book is that? No, it's not a comic book. These men were on the front lines of World War II, served out of the Bronx in New York City and Harlem, respectively. And when they came home, they were treated like garbage. like they were called garbage. They weren't allowed to go in certain places and eat. And they lost more men on the front line than a lot of our other units that are mentioned throughout history books in World War II, which speaks to a disparity amongst, at that time, our military and amongst society, right? And so what we are having the opportunity to do here is to fill in a lot of the educational gaps that were intended some 50, 60 years ago, so that people get the whole story and are really educated on what it means to be a soldier, an airman, a Marine. So when they hear these stories, they go, wait a minute, my grandfather didn't tell me that, and he served, you know, right after World War II or so within Korea and Vietnam. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We want to educate. So that's what the Hall of Fame Center is. It's an educational portion and platform for the stories that haven't been told for the most part, and relative and still speaking on the stories that have been told, so that we get a fuller picture. Because you cannot, if we go back to what our slogan is, which is duty, honor, appreciate, excuse me, duty, honor, service, appreciation, then you can't really honor me, Ray, if you don't know my whole story. And that's what's going on in the country. People are not honoring and appreciating the country because they haven't heard the full story. That's why we have a lot of kids now who very clichéically, they think it's the right thing to do out of tradition. When they see a military service member, they say, what? Thank you for your service. But they don't really, a lot of times, some of them do, I'm going to give a few of them credit, but they don't really know what that means to say thank you for your service. They don't know the gratitude level of it to say, man, because of what you do, I get to wake up and go out and go outside and play ball with my friends, or invite my friends over, and they don't have to worry about, like in the streets of Lebanon, walking down the street and getting shot, you know, by some infidel at some level who just doesn't like them because of X, Y, or Z factor, you know. So, but if we can give them the fuller story, they'll say, man, the same way that they appreciate Marvel Comics and DC Comics, those movies with, you know, Captain America and Incredible Hulk and Superman, they love those things. And they say, man, if Superman was here, I'd shine his boots. Well, guess what? You got guys and girls right here wearing boots every day to make sure that when you wake up at whatever time you wake up, I don't know what time kids wake up anymore, but whatever time you wake up, you get to just walk down to the kitchen, make what you want to eat, walk outside, do what you want to do, say what you want to say. That's called freedom. And that freedom comes at a price. And so this Hall of Fame is recognizing the men and women who serve so that you get the full story, so that when you see them next time, you'll be like, oh, man, come here, come here. I need a hug. I need a picture with you. I need something. That's the level of respect I honestly believe, and many others I talk to. That's the level of respect we believe military service deserves. So that's the one thing we're bringing to the Charlotte region area. But the other thing that we're doing that's really cool that you hinted on earlier was the Veterans Village. Right now in America, we have roughly 50-plus thousand homeless veterans. Should never be the case. So we teamed up with Axoy Construction, who is a great innovative technological thinker. Chris Axoy, my buddy over there.
I know Chris.
Yeah, good dude, man. Good dude. He's come up with some technologies. These are not PVC snap together homes. He has created literally miniature homes.
Tiny houses. We're talking
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? When people hear the word tiny house, they usually repel. They back up and say, oh, man, tiny house, those ugly little things that I saw in some picture.
No, man.
Not Chris's. Chris's are steel walls with nice outside backing. They have a material that he created that he has a patent on that is very durable. In fact, you can hit these things with a sledgehammer, 17-pound sledgehammer, and it won't crack the side of the house. So they've got slated roofs. They're eco-friendly. I mean, it's everything. So we teamed up with him, and we now have a design that you've seen, Ray.
Yep.
Nobody else has really seen it. But we have a design to make a true village for our veterans. Again, when we go get these guys and girls off the streets, let's give them a stable, comfortable place that we would want to live in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I get a veteran off the street, I don't want to take them out the box only to put them in a box. No, they just had a box. All you did was gave them a clean one. Let's give them something they can call home. When I tell a veteran, especially from Vietnam's era, when I say, hey, welcome home, because it's almost the unspoken slogan of what we say to Vietnam veterans, because when they came home from Vietnam, they were called baby killers. They were spat on. People hit them with bottles. And this wasn't a racial disparity thing. They hit a lot of those veterans. They didn't care. White, black, Puerto Rican. They didn't care. They hated the Vietnam War when these men and women came home. A good buddy of mine, to tell you the story, retired Army Sergeant. He's here in Harrisburg, North Carolina. Mike Stubbs. And so when we tell them welcome home, in that instance, welcome really means something. Welcome right. means I missed you, I love you, it's good to see you, thank God for you. And then home, a place where I can decompress, a place that is my haven, a place that I am proud of, a place that looks good, that complements my neighborhood. Welcome home, I need you. Okay, if I need you, I'm not going to throw you in cardboard. And so Chris's technology for the Veterans Village, we're going to build a village here. Then we're going down to the city of Matthews, which is still the Charlotte metro region.
Sure.
And we're going to talk to the mayor there, a good friend of ours, Chief Pennington. He's on our board of directors now. He's the police chief. We're going to talk to Matthews about building one there. We're going to reapproach the city of Charlotte. We haven't had a lot of love, unfortunately, from the city of Charlotte, but we want to find a space in Charlotte where we can build one. All-encompassing, we believe we should have satellite locations of the Hall of Fame, maybe 5,000 square feet, in 35 states across the U.S. so that the network is spread, including, if need be, some of these homes. Because it's not that everybody can make it to North Carolina. And, in fact, we are the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame. We should have subsidiary or satellite postures around the country so that these men and women, they can roll in. And let's for instance, and this is one of my greatest scenarios. For instance, if a veteran in New York City is having a hard time getting on her feet or his feet, and they say, I just need a change of direction. I need a new atmosphere. Okay, let's connect you with our guys in North Carolina or Texas or even Hawaii, where we do have an ambassador, right. Micah Gauthier. Let's get you out of where you know to be hurt into a place where we know you can heal.
Right.
And sometimes that means moving you 1,000 miles away. So we should have that capability. And so we are creating a network of true honor around the country, easily accessible for every veteran and or the family of.
All right, Curtis.
A lot of them. I'm sorry, go.
No, you're on a roll, bro. How do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, brother. So they can go to our website, www.usvets, that's Victory, Echo, Tango, Sierra, V-E-T-S, hallofame.org. Or if they want, they can even email us. Email me directly, usvets, H-O-F. @gmail.com.
Curtis, thank you. Sorry to cut you short, but this has been wow. Thank you. Thank you for your love, brother.
Thank you, brother.
You're definitely out there spreading it. You know, spreading it thick, I might add. And I appreciate you. I really do.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk again. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to stay together. Okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a golf tournament. What's the date on that, Curtis? It's in May.
May 28th,
there's a golf tournament, fundraising golf tournament at Emerald Lake Golf Club to raise money and awareness of the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame. We'll talk more about that as we get closer. Thank you, Curtis. Appreciate you, brother. Love
you. Thank you, brother.
Take care. All right, he's All right. out. We're going to come back and talk to ABC of the Carolinas.org. So you come on back. We'll talk more about this situation and a lot more stuff right here on About Your House. 704-227-8800. Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Go online on your little browser there. Put in Fox Sports Radio. Charlotte.com. Stream us anywhere. Or you got AI, meaning Alexa. Tune me into sports Fox Sports Charlotte. She'll take care of it. Or that Google person, whoever that is. Talk to them. It's as easy as that. We'll be right back. me the website's down. Okay, did you get that? No, welcome back, folks, to About Your House. Our website's not down, but ABC of Carolinas might be. Anyway, I always pull websites up as I talk to people. Hey, George,
that
how you
interesting.
Doing?
I saw on the website for the U.S. veterans that you had pulled up, and
right.
I saw a name down off to the side, and I was like, oh, I recognize that name. It was an interesting I can't even pronounce it. Okay.
Okay.
But in your conversation with Curtis, he mentioned Chris.
Yes.
Chris.
X-Oy.
I can't. Yeah.
X-Oy.
X-Oy.
That's it. I know Chris. And so that was really, that was interesting.
Yeah. Small world.
Yeah.
Yep. Neat. There's a lot of, right now, there is so much going on in the transition that we're in. And I call it a transition because I'm old enough to do so. I've been through a lot and seen a lot in my career in construction of 52 years. And right now, it seems to be kind of hectic and crazy. But I'll tell you this about Charlotte, and it's kind of a segue into my guest here, Amy and Sarah. Women, I've more women in construction than ever before, ever. You know, women are taking a very active role in the industry, which I think is absolutely wonderful, because I'm going to do my little thing right now. If you gave me a choice, you know, if you gave me a choice as a company owner, you give me 10 women or 10 men to get a job done, but they know what they're doing, I'll take the women every time. Every time, because they'll get it done quicker. Now, you got to separate them sometime. They're kind of like cats. You know, they've got their issues, and the reason I know this is because through the years, I've had a lot of discussion with women managers in corporate America. She said, oh, yeah, they can get it done, but you got to put them where they need to be in the room, or otherwise you got issues, you know, like cats. And she said that, and I says, very interesting, but it's true.
But cats don't stay where you put them.
But they're also very territorial, basically. You know, and that's the thing. And anyway, we won't go into all that mess. But the point is, let me bring them in here. Sarah Brigham, good morning, my dear.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm great. Amy Hicks, the president and CEO of ABC of the Carolinas. First of all,
good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad you're here.
Glad to be here. I
was hoping you would. But, you know, we're all busy. You know, and I don't know how long we worked this on a pretty good notice, so they had plenty of time. But I'm glad they're here because they're two ladies, and they're very, very, very active in the construction industry. To what degree, I don't know. I really don't.
Oh, there's a lot going on.
That's why you're here, and hopefully, and I can get other associations and members of the industry in the studio or involved, because that's what it's going to take to get to the root of our problem. Our problem is right now education, formal government-run education, is driving the bus. How's that working for us?
Not real well. Our industry needs 400,000 people to make up for the vacancies that are out there. And it's not happening fast enough.
We've been saying this for 30 frickin' years in meetings. Talk, talk, talk. I get a little emotional about this. Because you talk, you sit in a room for 2.5 hours, and you listen to stories about what has been and what is, not about what we're going to do. We're here, folks. There's no more help on the shelves. Inventory's gone. No experienced help.
None whatsoever. No supplies, nothing on the shelf, and no employees. So we're at a time where we have to do something as an industry together versus working in individual silos.
Fragmentation. Give us a history about ABC. Is there a history to deal with here?
Oh, there's a big history.
Of all, what is ABC of the Carolinas?
Well, we're the Associated Builders and Contractors. We're a national trade association based out of Washington, D.C., and the Carolinas, we're one of 69 chapters. We were founded in the 1950s based on merit shop philosophy, open shop philosophy. So our goal is, number one, to keep our industry open so that we can work independently without interference from any type of outside sources. So the whole goal is to provide our employees, our members with safety, make sure everybody goes home safe, whether it be physically or mentally, and then let the lowest bidder win without interference.
Cool. How long? 1950 what?
1950.
50. Mm-hmm. Yeah, older than me. Ooh. That'd be
really
72 years. Wow. Yeah.
Carolinas, we've been in existence for about, next year will be 25 years.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Well, NARI was here before ABC. I didn't know that. That was amazing. But you're a very active chapter. And what's amazing is I was looking at your website, and you've got seven people in the immediate, I don't know, that's not the board. So that's the day-to-day operations, I presume. And out of those seven heads, six are ladies, women, females.
Just
love
like
it.
You said, we get it done.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. I know. It's just like the NAWIC chapter here in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. The NAWIC chapter is one of the strongest in the country, if not the strongest, you know, because of what? When they set their mind on something, they get it done. So, you know, I think it's wonderful. Not that men can't get it done. They just don't do it in the same way.
We get it done quick and efficiently. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's my philosophy. Okay. I don't know where to go from here other than the fact of we just talked to a veteran.
Absolutely.
And y'all, you're involved with some of that activity as well.
We are, and what's so great is that an opportunity was presented to us probably back in October. Watson Electrical out of Wilson, North Carolina, is a very active member of ABC, Carolinas. They approached us and asked us if we would be willing to partner with a U.S. Army Fort Bragg electrical apprenticeship program, whereby which any veteran who is leaving the military within 6 to 13 months would have the opportunity to enlist or enroll in an electrical apprenticeship program that Watson is going to hold the MOA for. So Watson is going to basically start it, run it, provide the facility, hire the instructor, and this will be, I think it's going to be 5 miles outside of Fort Bragg. But they came to ABC because their vision is not only for Watson, you know, they can only take so many participants.
Sure.
I won't call them students, but participants. And they looked at the ABC electrical members and said, what if we open this up? Whereas we, Watson, are going to invest in this program with ABC, Carolinas, and in turn, you go out to your other members and say, hey, you know, these people are going to be coming through this class. We're going to make it fair and equitable. Watson isn't going to, you know, pick the best of the best, but it will be equitable among our members. And instead of maybe going through, a career company, they would then come to Watson and ABC and say, out of those 10 people, I need three. Now, those people coming out, they're going to know ahead of time that when they get out, we would like to place them with ABC companies. That's the whole goal. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. That's, yeah.
And they would be basically obligated to work in the Carolinas. So if someone who has a desire to be in Oklahoma may not necessarily sign up for this program, but someone who their goal is to get back within the Carolinas would go through Watson and ABC Carolinas to do so. So this program literally was kicked off in January at our leadership retreat. With us offering
last
our funding.
Last month. Yeah.
Got word this week that they think they've identified some space. The goal is to have classes going in November of this year. It's an 8-week program. When these participants come out, they will be at a level 2 as far as NCCER is going to be the curriculum. And from there, we hope to get the program running and see how it goes from there. So we're very excited to be part of this program. And our goal with Sarah as our Director of Workforce Development is to figure out then how we, ABC Carolinas, can maybe expand it into other trades so that we sort of take that on, get to know the folks within the U.S. Army, and go from there.
That's really cool. What is, you said Watson Electric has the MOA. What is MOA?
I believe it's the Memorandum of Agreement. It's the agreement that they will hold the agreement that they're going to run the program.
Okay.
Sometimes it's called an MOU.
MOU sometimes.
Okay. What does that mean?
MOU.
MOU is Memorandum of Understanding. So it's an agreement that you're going to
have. In this world of education, I'm just going to be as frank as I know how to be. Oh, no, watch out. I'm sick and damn tired of acronyms. I hate them. I hate the damn things.
Yeah, you've upset Ray.
Oh, at ABC we have thousands.
Well, I'm gonna throw out one here that really drives me crazy because it ties right into you. Sarah says, "Here we go." I'm gonna hold back today. I've got to really.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. CTE. What's it mean? What's it mean, George?
It's an appetizer.
But no, what's CTE mean?
I'd have no idea.
Careers in Technical Education.
Well, I knew you knew. But, you know, I like the trades better. I like that, you know, trades. If I go up to a person, and I've done it 40 times at least over the past 2 weeks to prove my damn point again, asking anybody in industry, a lot of them, what's CTE mean?
I think it's
they look at you just like that and say, I don't know.
It's another variant.
And then you go on, our, you know, it's careers in technical education. And in the education arena, that's the trades.
No, that's the answer you'd get if you went on the street today asking people, what is CTE? They'd get afraid. They think
it's COVID.
Yeah.
It's a variant.
Do I look different? Anyway, yeah. But my point, it's the trades we're dealing with here. Skilled trades. Trades. That means vocational education, right? Didn't it used to be called vocational?
Correct. It was. Vo-tech.
Vo-tech. I like that. Vo-tech. You kind of, so vocational training, right? You're attached to it. But now here's the clincher. I don't know what CTE means. Let me figure it out. I'll go online. CMS is liable to tell me. Give me some connection. Charlotte Mecklenburg School website, right? Go there. And CTE is a big word. I mean, big acronym. Careers in Technical Education. You pull up the page, what's available in middle school. One word on the whole page. One word on the whole page tells you the connection. The word's carpentry. Mm-hmm. That's it.
No.
That's it.
Many
there
more.
Is no connection on that page that relates any brain to the trades. Not only is there a disconnect in our schools with our kids not knowing what apprenticeship means, you can't even go online and figure out the trades.
That's something, and I'll let Sarah speak a little bit more.
I'm sorry
about
to
this.
Get crazy,
oh, no, absolutely.
But this is nuts.
Oh, it's nuts. And I think that obviously on the onset of the pandemic, you know, our association worked in the schools. And obviously couldn't work in the schools anymore, couldn't get the programs out. Mm. So we were able to sort of circumvent that. I'm involved with the Mecklenburg County Boy Scouts, and they have an Explorers Club, Explorers Post.
Right,
and
doing great stuff.
Doing good things. And I think that when you first looked at it, I believe the Explorers Post mainly focus on high school students. Well, at that point in time, you're too late. They already have this vision of what the trades are. But if you get in elementary school, middle school, and that's what
you're planting the seed.
Sarah was able to do that through our Explorers Club programs.
I've done it with Put Tools in Schools, and that's what we need to come together and make happen. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So our program, we started last year in Charlotte, and it's just one Saturday a month. They come in for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And every month we focus on a different trade or different type of construction. We have volunteers from our members come in. They kind of talk to the kids just for 15, 20 minutes about what their company or their trade does, talk about career paths and training and apprenticeship. And then they do a hands-on project together. So the kids are
actually getting
to use that. So it was so successful in Charlotte last year. We expanded it to Raleigh and Charleston this year. So 2 weeks ago in Raleigh was our kickoff, and we had 24 middle schoolers. We were only planning on 14, and they just kept coming in and coming in.
When they see the toys. It's when they see the toys, it's like, oh, they don't get this stuff, people. Yeah. I mean, our kids are not experiencing hands-on tools. It's that simple. Tools.
When you're out there and you're watching, and I will say there were two girls in the Charlotte program this past year, and the rest were young men. And when you see the girls out there, and I saw this one young man looking at it like, what do I do? And the girls are just out there just hammering away.
If I had a hammer, and those girls, man, you put that screw gun.
If I had a hammer.
That was a program, you know, and I was an instructor for about 5 years where we dealt with sixth and seventh and eighth graders, you know, from middle school. Mm-hmm. And those girls, like I said, they didn't want to give the screw gun up.
No.
They didn't want to let it go. You know, they fought over it. I mean, the boys, they kind of sat back and, whoa.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's amazing.
It was really cool, though, to watch these, you know, it was sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, and that's an awkward age for anybody.
Adolescent.
You know, and you know, they start out and they're just a little, you know, a little awkward, a little unsure, a little kind of gawky and stuff like that. And I told the parents after the first meeting, I said, you watch over the next year, these kids are going to change. Part of that's natural change in anyway.
Oh, it's adolescent, but it's the best time to grab it.
It was so cool.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It was so cool. By the time we wrapped up in November and we made each student do a 5-minute presentation, basically on what they learned over the year. What did they love? What did they hate? How has the experience changed their thought of what their future could be? And they got up there, they put a PowerPoint together, they're talking, they're doing all this stuff, and the excitement and the confidence level that came out of them. Self-esteem,
man.
It was so cool.
But the connection between excuse me, I just said my hands and my brain, y'all can't see me. If you took my hands away, I don't know if I could talk. But, I mean, to see that change, but it wouldn't happen. It would not happen if you didn't provide connectivity between those hands and that mind. It's called animalistic. We were born that way. Mm-hmm. Why'd we take it away? Why are we taking it away from our kids? We are. Mm-hmm. We have. It's gone. That's the problem. Now, I've got to do this for the break here. I got to explain something. A lot of people that, you know, I've gotten wind that some people say, why does he talk about this other stuff? The show's called About Your House. Stupid has become a serious issue with the trades, meaning you may call someone to come in your house and ask them to do a service, and they may stop and say, I don't know how to do that. Or they'll continue to do it not knowing how to do it and screw it up. This is abundant. I see it every day. I listen to the stories every day. Now, you want to know why this is about your house? Because you can't get help that knows what they're doing
anymore.
And I'm sorry to tell you that. It's all you know now. It's stupid. And if that's harsh, pardon me. But that's the way it is. So now if you want to know why we're talking about all this on this show, it's because it is actually about your house.
Ray, last weekend I was at visiting some friends in Tryon, North Carolina. They bought a house up there, and my wife and I were spending the weekend with them. And they told me that their shower, the house was old. The house is, I don't know, maybe 1940s.
Okay, cool.
It's original construction. It's a really very interesting house. But the shower in the master doesn't work well. And so he said, yeah, we're going to have to tear the shower apart or do something because we can't get it fixed. I said, nonsense. It's you don't have to cut anything out. It's accessible from the front.
Exactly.
One screw pulls the cartridge out, and you replace the cartridge. You don't have to replace the plumbing. And he told me, he said, well, we had three plumbers come over and look at it, and they can't figure out what to do. I said, give me a screwdriver. So I took it apart and took some photographs, came back to Charlotte. In 10 minutes, I've got the new valve. It's out in the truck. We're going to bring it to him this week. But he couldn't find a plumber that knew how to – a plumber didn't – I'm not a plumber.
Sure you are.
Well,
sure you are.
But
George,
he couldn't find
one.
You are now.
Where's your self-confidence?
Is in the business up there that knew how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, this is the point. We've got a tremendous problem. We got lots of problems. Oh, God. But we're just going to hit this one. Well, it's kind of big, but it's a biggie because it affects each and every one of us as homeowners and parents. Parents, wake up, go to school, find out what your kids aren't learning. It's atrocious. I'm sick of it. Let's do something about it. Industry, step the hell up. Let's do this. We can do this. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't. It actually could be very easy. I'll explain it to you when we get back out of the break. I got some ideas. I'm going to throw it to these ladies here. They can come back. But this is a we thing. It's all about us, the industry, our culture, our people, humanity. We'll be right back.
Cowboys ain't easy to love, and they're harder to hold. They'd rather give you a song than diamonds or gold.
Lone Star belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. If you don't understand him, he don't die young. He'll probably just ride away.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars or drive them old trucks. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. 'Cause they never stay home and they're always alone. Someone
they love. Got to talk about being a cowboy. Yeehaw! Cowboy. Ride 'em, cowboy. Yeah, I like it. I love cowboys.
I love cowgirls.
You know, people talk about their shoes, you know, and stuff. You know, well, you can't work in those shoes. I wear boots.
That's
probably
all I wear.
Yeah, I wear
That's
boots probably 80 to 90% of the time. And you know, they said you can't get on the roof with those boots. I says no. Watch me. They're rubber soled. Why would I put some boots on my feet and go on a roof where I know I'm going to slip and fall? That's stupid. But anyway, you can run in cowboy boots, can't you, George?
It's not as easy as running in sneakers.
It's a little tough on the knees.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
And it looks funny.
Yeah. What? Only because it looks funny. Who gives a darn?
I mean, as long as you get to where you need to go.
Yeah, I want to get there fast. I don't care what it looks like. But I hear you. All right, we're back. This is about your house in all respects. But before the break, I was talking about, you know, how all this kind of ties into all of us. And, you know, the idea of maintenance and upkeep and remodeling and home building. And by the way, on the home building note, in about 10 minutes, Dwayne Johns from Allaire Homes is going to call us and give us a report on the home show he attended last month, I think it was, somewhere. I think it was in Florida. But he'll tell us. Dwayne's a great guy, a member of NARI, a CR certified remodeler and all that. Great guy, co-host of the Builder's Nugget podcast, I believe it is. He'll tell us more. But that's coming up in about 10 minutes. Sarah Brigham, head of workforce development for ABCs of Carolinas, and Amy Hicks is in the studio. Amy Hicks, president, CEO of ABC, and two very motivated ladies, very involved in the industry of called construction. How many members do y'all have?
We have roughly 400 member companies.
400 member companies here in the Charlotte area.
In the Charlotte area. As an association, as a whole, we have 21,000 member companies.
Across the country?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know, Sarah, how long have you been with ABC?
I've been on staff for 3 years.
Gotcha.
But I worked for member companies before that and was involved for 12 years.
Yeah, how did you, so you've been in construction.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we normally do is, you know, how'd you get here?
So I used to work.
You're young yet, see. So
I worked for an electrical contractor in their engineering department, excuse me, and my husband by trade is an electrician. He's now a project manager for a lighting controls company. But so I've been involved with construction since I was about 20, kind of peripherally, but then also I worked for my husband when he owned his company. When we lived in Wisconsin, and then we moved here, we both went to work for an electrical contractor, and then that's how I got involved with ABC. locally with the Charlotte Council. When I left there, I went to work for Duncan Parnell, which is a company that...
They're all around the planning side of it.
And so then from there, came on staff 3 years ago with ABC.
You like it?
I love it.
Do you? What do you like most about it?
I have such a variety of things that I get to do.
We talked about that last time.
Yeah.
Variety.
And I love merging together my sort of like planning organizational skills with my passion for education. I'm not, you know, a teacher by trade. I was raised by two teachers, though, so it's sort of innate.
You're not a teacher only because you don't have a piece of paper.
I don't have it.
But you are a teacher, Sarah.
Yep.
Don't let all that acronym crap get to you.
Yeah.
You know, because you're a teacher.
Yeah. But I have a passion for teaching anyone, not just kids, about the profitability and viability careers in construction. And that's one of my favorite things to do, is to be able to go out to high schools and middle schools and talk with kids about careers in construction, because they don't know about it. Even the ones that are in like a carpentry class, they still don't know about apprentices. I was at a group last month, and I said, it was probably 25, 30 students in there, and I asked, how many of you have heard the word apprenticeship? And about...
Did you tell her to do that, right?
No, this is not... I don't do that.
Out of those 25, 30 kids, maybe 6 or 7 raised their hand that they've heard about apprenticeship. I said, okay, who can tell me what apprenticeship is? Two students could raise their hand. And they had a little bit of an idea. They still didn't have the full picture of what apprenticeship is. So I pretty much abandoned my whole speech I was going to give to them and just talked to them about apprenticeship and what it is and how they can find one and how that moves them through their career path.
Right. And how old are they?
How old are they?
How old was this group of kids again?
This was high school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I did the same thing in middle school at McClintock. Yep. 5 classes, not one kid in 5 classes knew what the word apprenticeship
Here's
was.
Here's a question.
Yes.
Would you ask them if they know what the word internship means?
That's another avenue of approach.
They probably do, but it's associated with
education.
White collar.
Yes.
Not necessarily with blue collar.
It's associated with, this is something you do at the end of your college career.
Yes, before you get the real job.
The real job.
It's like training. It's on-the-job training for your real job.
Yes.
Okay. And because that word, internship, is thrown around a lot.
A lot.
It is. Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't know. I feel like apprenticeship is thrown around a lot, and I guess that's insular here with construction. But apprenticeship is very, very specific. If you're going to use the word apprenticeship, it's very specific.
It's tied to a
what
program, an educational format.
It's registered apprenticeship.
Yes.
That's with the state. And there's two components. There's the education component, and then there's the on-the-job training part. People use that word all the time, but what they're really talking about is craft training if there's not the on-the-job component.
And I hear that, and I understand it totally, and I agree with it totally. However, if they don't know what it means, if they don't know the association between working with your hands, then we need to go back and start over. Meaning awareness. If kids know of it in elementary school, hypothetically, we get a trailer. I'm going to throw one of my ideas at you. Well, we got a lot of fathers under 40 that are kind of lost. Kinda? No, they're lost.
They're lost. Yep.
They're wondering around what can I do? What? Okay, I can't. And I've talked to a lot of men, and with these honest approaches, saying we got issues. Okay, what if we reached out to our community, Charlotte, 2.5 million of you? Okay, and you know we get one trailer, tandem axle trailer, and we put 5-6 projects on there, you know, and we teach parents, fathers, mothers, all, how to present these projects to a fifth grade class. And that trailer can hook up to any 2-inch ball behind any pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And get the community, fathers and communities involved where they come get the truck, they're trained or instructed on what they're doing in presentation format. And they've got 5-6 projects right there on the trailer. And they pull that up and they do a program in an elementary school. At the end of the day, they load their trailer and they pull it all back it in the parking lot and say bye. That's simple. But yet, like you've both seen and we've all seen, when you put those toys out there, for example, if I've got a little nylon table that we're all familiar with, and you dump a 10-pack of DeWalt 20-volt tools up there with a few boards and screws, don't get the saw out because they'll cut their finger off. You know, I'm bringing up safety here. Bring the safety. Safety's top foremost, and I don't have to tell you professionals that because you're already supposed to know it. But if you don't, safety's first, okay? So we got to remember that. But it's pretty simple. Then we get one trailer, then we get two trailers, then we get three trailers. And before you know it, we got a movement with elementary school kids. I ain't touched middle school yet because, see, industry can step up and do the middle schools and high schools, no problem. And we don't have to buy a thing. Just show up, engage the kids. At the end of the format, you clean up just like you do on any job, and you say bye-bye. And the exposure, the embracing of those elements will make all the difference in the world, and you will literally change lives because these kids do not have a clue.
They truly don't. And I think it goes back to, we were listening to Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. I think we're in a mode where it's Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Tradesmen.
Thank you.
We're all in the mode of,
I
graduated from college. I have a college degree, and there's a time and place for that for everybody, but not everybody is meant to go down that path. And parents need to recognize that, and then they need to have the education. You can't put all the blame on the parents because don't know,
there is no blame.
They don't know what they don't know.
It's just the way it is.
It's an education process, and I think, in my opinion, especially watching the Explorers Club, it even starts earlier than that. So your idea of the early
exposure.
Elementary exposure.
Plant those seeds, you know, because otherwise they don't see it.
So my stepfather, I grew up in a house, he's a general contractor. He worked for a large, at the time, multifamily builder here in Charlotte. So growing up on the weekends, my sister and I, we were under the age of 10, would go out and walk job sites with him because he had to do something with us. And he would give us drawing paper and the stencils and say, go design what your ideal house would be, or come up with your, not that we have caught that, love you out there, Bill. But he would say, just go and design your house. What would that look like?
Right.
So at least I had the knowledge of what that was, and I honestly didn't know the depths of it as well. And I grew up in a household with a general contractor.
Well, you're going to tell your story too. How did this lady named Amy Hicks become president and CEO? But hold that thought, because we're up against the clock here. We're top of the hour break.
Phone call.
Yeah, Dwayne Johns is on the phone on hold. He wants to talk to us about, you know, little left-hand turn for a little bit here, and then we'll come back on track. Not a problem. That's what we do here. We're professional broadcasting people. That's a joke. 704-227-8800. You're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. George Hobel of Hobel Designs is here, too.
I'm doing my apprenticeship on the radio.
And doing a fine job, too. All right. Thank you, folks, for listening. Appreciate you. 704-227-8800 is the number. Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. It's not that big of a deal. You can listen to us anywhere. Stream us. Get a better signal, or if you're lucky, tune us into 94.7 FM in the Charlotte metro area. We'll be right back with more About Your House, Dwayne Johns, Allaire Homes, the Builder's Nugget podcast, all of that and much more when you come back.
Well, might as well get this day underway. Let's face it, this honey-do list ain't gonna do itself. Of course, I could use a little help. There we go. All the help I need. It's About Your House.
Oh, this old house wants to do its children.
children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online, carolinafoundationsolutions.com.
Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Of About Your House. Been a loaded show today. Been a great show. Thank you both ladies for coming in today. Y'all have really, it's been better than I thought it would be. Although I have no expectations. None. You just let life go. Let it take it where it takes it. Okay? All right. We got Dwayne Johns on the phone. Push the little buttons over there. Hey, Darren, buttons. Too many buttons in where Darren's world be? Right now. Dwayne Johns on the phone. Good morning, brother Dwayne. How we doing?
Ray Terry, what's going on, my friend?
It's a beautiful day. Beautiful day, man. And where you been?
Everywhere, man. A little bit of everywhere, but you know, mostly here in North Carolina. Actually, this morning, looking at that Carolina blue sky we got out there.
There you go. Dwayne Johns is one of the principals at Allaire Homes. Allaire Homes very involved in education as well. They've working with CPCC and other NARI and other organizations. Dwayne's a busy man, very dedicated, passionate about the purpose of construction and education and giving back. And I really appreciate you for that, Dwayne. Wish there was more of you. But he's also co-host of the Builder's Nugget podcast. Tell us a little bit about that, Dwayne.
Yeah, the Builder Nuggets podcast is something that we kicked it off, actually started last year in January, so got a full year under our belt. You know, one of those things where you just kind of throw stuff up against the wall to see what's going to stick. But I think if you know me too, one of my passions has always been professionalism in the industry.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, there's a lot of folks that put blood, sweat, tears, 25, 30 years or more into this, whether it's a trade or, you know, being a contractor. And you know, at the end, they don't have a whole lot. You know, they don't know what to do with their business. It might not be a business that's really valuable enough to sell. I mean, you don't often hear of people that just want to write a big check to buy somebody's contracting business, you know. So it talks about the things, the fundamental things you have to have in your business to create some value and get to that point down the road where maybe you're not working in it as much. You know, you've created a good team of people that can build your legacy and have a business that's got some value in it. And there's a lot of things around that. There's a lot that goes into doing that. And, you know, one of the things we've done is brought in guests from within the industry and outside the industry, you know, successful folks that have done it. So instead of trying to struggle and figure it all out on your own, why not collaborate at the highest level and talk to some of these other folks? So we've been having a lot of fun with it.
Another example, it's a we thing. You know,
it's a we thing. Yeah,
it's a we thing. It takes all of us, and we can learn from each other. And you know, you leave the. This is a biggie in this industry, and I'm sure all the room can attest to that. Egos.
Egos. It's tough to check in at the door. You know.
Oh wow.
And you have to. Sometimes you feel like, oh well, you've got to figure it all out on your own, or you know what? I'll just the hell with it. I'll do it myself. And if you stay in that mindset, it's going to be really tough.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, you've got it. You've got to collaborate. You got to be able to bring other people into the fold, not be afraid of it. And on every level, as we said, from especially now with you know how many people are aging out of the industry.
Yeah.
You know, that's a double-edged sword because one is there's a lot of them that are getting ready to age out and they don't really have a very good exit strategy. And then the other end, who's coming in to replace them? You know, yeah. We've got to work together on all of this stuff.
Yeah, when I go in a room now, they say, you mean he's still alive?
Yeah, they do.
Damn. You know, is he going to go away? You know, wow. But, yeah, yeah, we're aging out, no question about it. Well, you just went to a builder show. Tell us more about where'd you go, what's going on with the industry, and what'd you see? Because shows are always very interesting, and especially the time we're in. And I was really – I noticed you had gone, and I said, man, I got to get Dwayne on the show to talk about the you know what he saw, what you experienced.
Yeah, you know, I've been going to various shows, especially this one here, the International Builders Show, put on by NAHB. It's also in – concert with KBiz, the Kitchen and Bath Industry Show. Yeah, I mean, over the course of the last 20 years or so, I've seen some great shows and I've seen some not so great. Obviously, after you know 2007, 2008, some of those shows took a hit, but this one was really exciting. Even the guy on the floor that kind of sets things up for Orange County Convention Center said they do shows every week. He says this is the best show they've had in over 2 years.
Awesome.
So I think people are kind of you know moving towards getting beyond COVID, you know, the industry is wide open, and the atmosphere was just fantastic. It was very upbeat, exciting to see it for the industry. Lots of great products, you know, lots of great services and vendors out there. And the cool thing was people weren't – it wasn't the kind of that show feel where everybody's attacking you, trying to sell you something. It was really at the highest level. Again, the collaboration part, lots of educational classes. It was fun. It was a great week.
Awesome. Good to hear. You probably broadcast from the site, didn't you?
We did. I was down there, you know, for a little bit. I have some. I'm now involved on the national level with NAHB on the Custom Home Builders Council, and also on the Remodelers Council Board of Trustees. So I have some involvement for meetings there. Did some educational stuff. Builder Nuggets. We had a booth. So on the podcast side, we were there, and then also, you know, through my the stuff that I do with Alair.
Gotcha.
We had some meetings. So yeah, lots going on.
All right. Now I'm on. Appreciate that feedback. What about are you hearing a lot about material cost? I mean, were people in that part of the discussion down there, the escalation and where's it going and how's it going? The concerns are wrapped around material shortages, the cost, the expenses, everything's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. And from everything that I'm gathering, I still feel like it's going to come to a head this year. We're not going to see the end of it this year. I think it's going to be probably the beginning of next year, 2023, when we start to see some prices start to come down. Because everybody I'm talking to is that you're still struggling with supply. Panels, you know, plywood is still just an absolute mess and going up again.
$45 a sheet last week. I got listeners and constituents that we both know, Dwayne, that send me pictures from the box stores every week on prices.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, yep. It's nuts. It's gone nuts.
But I think that's what we all have to be prepared for, is that we're going to continue to see rising prices through this year, maybe not as steep, but still rising, and then probably plateau towards the end. Obviously, some products at different times. But, yeah, I wouldn't count on this on anything getting cheaper this year.
It'll change next year because it's an election year.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, what will happen is the entire market will slow a little bit, which frankly we need. Everybody needs a little bit of a break, I think, to get things just back in order. Let supply chains get caught up. Let trades caught up. So I don't see it as anything negative once it plateaus. But I think people need to be prepared that, you know, we're probably going to go from just being order takers over the last couple of years to you might have to figure out how to actually sell some stuff again. So.
I get it. Well, let's go in another direction real quick here. You're involved with education through CPCC's ROC, the association you've got with the ROC, Recovering Opportunities in Construction. Darren Ash and crew over there, Margaret, doing a great job. What are you doing with those folks? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, I think it's back to whatever you can do. You know, one of the things we did last year was took an intern on, and I know a few others have done it. I know Andrew Roby had done it, and there's a few other commercial firms that have, and we're getting ready to take on another young intern this year. I give an opportunity for these folks to, you know, they're going through the classes, they're learning over there in a great environment, give them a chance to get out actually in the field, meet with other folks in the industry, you know, over the course of 6, 8, even 10 weeks, let them really get a feel for what it's like to do this stuff, and hopefully show them, you know, that this, what this industry is really about. And it's been exciting to see these kids actually start to work with their hands and interface with, you know, some of the folks that are actually doing it. And I think they're realizing there's huge opportunity here. And it's also a great way for them to get their hands on and find out, do they like it? Maybe they don't like it.
Well, exactly. Exposure is the whole key. At least
expose yourself.
We've just got to show them. You know, that's where we're lacking.
And then we hosted a lunch over there not too long ago, and just supporting them in any way that we can. You know, if there's anything that they might need, and what they really need, and you know that, is a lot of times they just need people to volunteer a little time. Get out there and show them something. You know, are you a retired electrician or carpenter? Or that's the biggest need, is we don't have enough resources for really teaching these kids. So any of these organizations, anytime you see tools in schools, any of this stuff, you know, if you've got some spare time, you got to try to participate.
Well, I appreciate your involvement with Put Tools in Schools. I got to talk to Karina Gray, one of your gals over there, and she's stepping up with NARI. You're very involved with NARI. We got a meeting coming up. On that note, this Thursday night, this Thursday night, the NARI meeting, if you go to NARICharlotte.com, all the information will be on the meeting. If you're active in remodeling and home improvement in the Charlotte area, it'd be a good opportunity for you to just visit, go online and sign up, register, and show up and just expose yourself to that side of the industry. Would be a good thing. That's this Thursday night, the 24th, and I can't remember. What's the name of that stone place?
Constantino's,
yeah.
That's where we're going to be. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but you and your crew are very involved in industry, and that's what we need more of. And
you certainly do. There's a lot of great stuff, especially on the residential side. You know, some of the commercial folks and larger commercial businesses have tried to participate a little bit, but these folks really need to see that there's a viable, not just a viable job here. It's a career that you could turn into a business. Turns out it's a great way to make a living. And let's face it, I mean, we're building stuff. It's one of the three necessities.
And moreover,
you know, who shelter clothing? So
more than that, it provides a pathway that's to something that we rarely talk about, and it's really very, very important, because we all want it. That's to be happy and have purpose. And once you learn to work with your hands and you see what you can do, fear goes away and you're going to screw up more because you're going to attempt more. And that is education in its truest form. And we need to provide that, which you're doing, and I appreciate everything you've done and that you're going to do. I really,
you as well, Ray. You've been, you've been a big promoter of the industry for many years, so I certainly appreciate everything that you do as well. So,
well, thank you. It's our life, isn't it, Dwayne? It's what we
it
do.
Is. It's, yeah. It's, can't sing, can't dance. So,
nah. I know the feeling, brother. I appreciate you coming on with me today, and we got to do this more often too. Just stay in touch, and that's part of the issue too. We're too darn fragmented in this industry. Everybody's out there on their little ego train doing their own little thing, and that's all well and wonderful for your little circle, but we need to share that with everyone. At least,
You know, you've seen consolidation in every industry there is, but for some reason, construction just feels like they can't do it or don't want to do it. But we're going to have to get out of our own way pretty quick.
Well, I know. We're going to talk about that when, you know, we break here with the ladies here that are involved every day with contractors, builders, and in every facet. So we're going to check in with them and find out what they're doing about education, and they are very active. But we need to come together. As you know, thank you, Dwayne. I appreciate all you do, brother.
Thank you, Ray.
Take care. Appreciate your support. Be good. Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's Dwayne Johns with Allaire Homes, very active in the industry, very active in pursuing happiness and purpose and giving back. And that's what we need to do from the industry's point of view.
They won the award, the biggest award at NARE, at the NARE meeting for 2021. Allaire Homes took home the
Contractor of the Year award, the ultimate.
Yeah, the... Yeah,
the big one. Yeah, whatever it's called, Cody Award. It's called a Cody Award, but it's in its category. Yeah, yeah. But
they're
definitely an award-winning, outstanding remodeling, home building, construction firm, Allaire Homes, right here in Charlotte, and great company, great bunch of guys, and I mean it's one of the upper crust companies. If you want professionalism and you want it done right, Allaire Homes, they're good bunch of people. So we're going to take a break. Yep, take our first break, come back and hear Amy's story about about how
it's a
this
journey.
How this what her journey was. What kind of stumble the speed bumps did she hit? Probably ABC. No, I'm kidding. 704-227-8800. That's the number. Sarah Brickman, developer development of workforce,
director.
Thank you, director of workforce development, which is a really neat way of saying she's into education in the industry. Okay, this workforce
DWD.
Development. Yeah, DWD. I was thinking the same thing. Another one of those things, workforce development. What the hell? Anyway, we'll be back to explain that and a lot more acronyms when we get back. Okay, we're about. I'll quit singing, promise. Excuse me. We're streaming live on Facebook, by the way. We have been for I don't know the whole show because we've got pretty women in the studio and it's so pleasant. But we wanted to share our excitement. All right, welcome back. 704-227-8800. We're talking to Sarah Brickman, director of Workforce Development. God, got it all out there. Ain't there something?
We could give it an acronym. You
know. No, please
DWD.
Don't.
DWD.
No.
There you go.
No.
DWD.
She's the teach. We got Amy Hicks, president, CEO of ABC of the Carolinas.org. ABC Carolinas, SONN.org. Okay, and you can look up the website and see what they're all about. Amy.
Yes.
Your president, CEO, whoopee. How did you, what's your journey? How'd you get to where you're at? Because you're not an old person. You're kind of young yet.
I'm there. I'm there. But no. But
no, you're not there yet. You're not there yet.
Almost. I got my AARP envelope a couple years ago, so I guess I'm almost there.
I love it. Yeah.
So the journey's been interesting. My background has always been sales, business development, and I'm very much so like Sarah. I was a member of ABC before becoming an employee of ABC. So my background has always been in whether it be commercial real estate development, and I made my way to a business development role with an accounting firm, Cohn Resnick, in this market, who was a member of ABC from a national perspective as well as here in the Carolinas. So joined ABC, learned the value proposition, and then shortly after that I went to work for an engineering firm. And obviously they were geotechnical, environmental, so they were boots on the ground.
Interesting.
And it's on the commercial side, so I learned the commercial side.
And a very interesting area of construction, too.
Oh, very much so.
Geothermal is wow.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And, you know, and nothing is very sexy beneath the ground, but if you don't get it right beneath the ground, the building cannot come up.
Foundation's the most important part of life.
Yes. Without the foundation, nothing can be built.
First 2 years of a child's life, the most important years of his life. Enough said about that. Keep going.
Absolutely. And against remained a member of ABC, and you know, during life goes on, and I felt like there's something different I could be doing. And during the pandemic, had a little bit of a furlough, and during the furlough, ABC approached me about coming on board. I am not an operations person by nature. I consider myself a connector. I love people. I love making sure that people get the right connections in life, because that. To me, I'm about giving.
Sweet. Yeah.
Then eventually, you know, you will receive, but I'm about giving back.
If you give, you get.
Absolutely. And I'm with my background of in the construction industry in North and South Carolina. They made me an offer to come on board to rejuvenate the chapter, to bring it back to life. We had a couple years of turmoil and came on board in May of 2020. You know, who joins a membership organization during a pandemic? I did.
Nice.
And we've gone forward since.
On that note, getting back to education here, folks, we are in the midst of the biggest employment transition in American history, but they don't talk about it. Oh, no. This is part of the, like the nurses and the doctors and the policemen and the firemen mm-hmm. and all the infrastructure people that are leaving their jobs because they don't want to be told what to put in their bodies. Other and on top of that, with corporate doing all the things they've done, like work from home, do this, do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. People are tired. I've had enough of this crap. And they're leaving in droves, literally. Now, it's nobody's fault. There's no blame. It just is. But right now, people, adults, are leaving corporate America in droves. Where are they going? I got an idea. Let's put them in the trades. Let's get dirty again. There you go. It's that simple. And it's happening. How are we going to embark and take advantage of this tremendous opportunity within the construction industry? First part of it is wake up and see what's going on and embrace it. And that's kind of where we're at. And you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now we have just the program for those people who want to make a career shift. It is called,
imagine that.
I know. It is called PACE, and PACE stands for Pre-Apprenticeship Construction Experience. We're sort of targeting 18 to 24-year-olds because that's the demographic that's kind of lost and doesn't know what they're going to do, especially if they're not planning to go to college. But we will take any age. If you find yourself 35, 40, 45, however old, and you hate your job and you want to
no
make a change.
No one should hate your job.
No.
No one.
No one.
We're providing you some things to ponder here.
Mm-hmm. So you want to make a change, but you really don't know what to do to make a change. We want you. we want you to come to ABC and join our PACE program. What it is.
Her name is Sarah.
Okay. What it is. It's a 2-week construction intensive where we're going to teach you the things you need to know to get into construction.
The first 2 weeks.
First 2 weeks. We're going to get you an OSHA 10 certification. Safety first, always. We're going to get
Occupational Health and Safety
Association.
Another one of those.
It's another one of those. It's an acronym.
OSHA. Yeah. It's part of construction big time. Keep talking. Yep.
And we're going to do a deep dive into construction math. So, yes, fractions, everybody's favorite
Third grade math. Okay, not hard.
Yeah. And a lot of tools, skills. And then after those 2 weeks, you're going to go on 4 2-week rotations. So this is a 10-week total program. But within those 2-week rotations, you're going to get to try out 4 different trades, an electrical company, a mechanical company, a tiling company, and a general contractor. You're going to go out for 2 weeks each and try these out. Why? Because you may not know which type of construction you want to be in.
What suits your fancy.
Yep.
And here's the great thing about construction, and I got to throw this one in there. George, you can attest to this. No matter what site you go on with these trades, you see the other trades. You're right beside them.
Right beside them.
You're working in tandem with some of them. So it's not like if you go to work for an electrical firm, you're not going to get exposed to anything but electrical. Wrong. You're going to see the big picture. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be exposed to the bigger picture. So although you may be there 2 weeks doing electrical, you're right beside everything else, be it concrete, sheetrock, drywall, I mean, same thing, HVAC, plumbing. It doesn't matter. It's all there. It's all part of the infrastructure of that building.
Yep. So when you're out on those jobs, the purpose of the 2-week intensive is to prepare you to be useful on the job site. You are not going to be pushing a broom or fetching things. You will be working on those 2 weeks. And you're going to get paid for it.
That's what I was going to say. You get paid for this. It is a paid program. Now, granted, you're not going to get top wages. So if you think you are, get out of here.
Not yet.
It's the first step.
But you're getting paid for
school.
School. Paid school. Wow. Woo. This is awesome.
Yep. And at the end of the 10-week program, the 4 companies that you've done your rotations with, they're going to have an opportunity to extend you a job offer. That's where your career begins from that point. You're going to accept one of hopefully 4 job offers and go to work for that company, and then they're going to put you through their training program. That's why this is called pre-apprenticeship, because they're going to put you into their own apprenticeship training program where you're going to get an even deeper dive and higher level skills within that trade.
Gotcha. What ABC is, from my perspective, is another education arm for the industry.
Mm-hmm. Would you?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
All right. They're just like, and I have to say this, CPCCs, Harper Campus, and the trades. It's the Institute of Construction Technology is what they call it over there. Okay, and they're another education arm for the apprenticeship programs with certain companies. You work with companies. How many companies do y'all work with on the apprenticeship program?
So with our electrical apprenticeship, we have 30 contractors.
See, so they got 30 contractors, that you can deal with here. 30 contractors in the Charlotte area. And if you went to one of those contractors, just literally walked in the front door, said, I want a job. Well, if they look at you and say, and you talk to them, you present yourself in a manner, more than likely, if you're worth a darn, they're going to hire you. And they're going to work you for about 90 days. And they're going to find out what you're about. Because a lot of people ain't going to last 3 days, much less 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Some do, some don't. Yep. But the thing is, if you make it 90 days, that means you're in it, man. You're in it to win it. Okay? And then what that company's going to do, they're going to send you to this particular group is going to send you to an apprenticeship program orchestrated, with the NCCER program. What's that stand for?
NCCER is the...
I know. I put you on the spot.
It's the National Construction...
I'll look it
up. Certification, accreditation.
It's an education.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
National Center for Construction Education and Resource.
There you go. NCCE. Well, it's a whole curriculum around construction.
Yes.
And it's darn good.
In every trade.
Yeah, it's
not
darn
just
good.
Electrical.
Yeah. It's absolutely essential. Not essential. Bad word, because I deem it not essential, but it's very, very good. Now, I'm not here to talk down about it at all, because the information, the whole curriculum, fantastic. But you're not going to get that in every situation out there in the trades. Now, it's just like if you go to CPCC's working off the same curriculum.
They are. Yep.
So it's a pretty standardized curriculum through the construction industry. However, it's not essential for you to be successful in trades. That's what I'm trying to make, the point I'm trying to make. But we've got educational arms out there that will provide you, and ABC is one of them. Mm-hmm. I went to your apprenticeship appreciation night, I believe it was.
Right. Yep, in November.
Wow. There was like 40 to 50 guys in that room, if not more. It was amazing. You know, and they're all, and here's the great thing. Once you do this, like this PACE program, you'll always have a job.
Yep.
Always.
You'll never be without employment.
Yep.
Never.
That's one of the things, you know, I talked about in the last hour, talking with high school students and middle school students, too. And not only talking to them about what apprenticeship is and stuff, but that this is a career for life. And I really bring it back to the last 2 years in pandemic. I said, how many of you know somebody, probably right in your immediate family, that lost their job in the pandemic because they were in retail or restaurant or hospitality?
Non-essential businesses.
Non-essential. Tons of businesses closed or had to downsize or whatever. Well, not construction. We ramped up. We're booming.
You know, I got to throw this out here. Tool rental. My buddy Tony Long, he's one of the owners of Menhill Tool Rentals. And it dawned on me. I said, you know, I wonder how his business did in the pandemic. It was up 30% because people were at home. They got free money. They had to spend it. They didn't have to, but, you know, they were spending it, so they spent it on their homes. So tool rentals went up incredibly. So everything attached to the construction industry during the pandemic went nuts, exploded, and here we are.
Well, that's something else, and sort of to fall in with one of our other focuses with ABC, not only in the Carolinas but nationally. We were one of many associations that kept our industry open. In cases where cities were closing down job sites, it was our job to make sure that politically we advocated on behalf of our members, and we are still doing that in terms of making sure that we are kept open as an industry, 100%. So,
got it. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What other educational stuff are you involved with? Because we've mentioned you're involved with Explorers.
Mm-hmm.
You got this PACE program that you're working with other industry on.
Yep.
And they are stepping up because you had to get five companies to get involved. And companies are stepping up. We just need more of it because, once again, I'm going to go right back. Right now, our national government-run education system, for the most part, is driving the bus. It ain't working. Sorry, just ain't working. So what are we going to do about it? We need a different bus driver called industry. And, you know, the construction industry really, really, if you look around you, is everywhere you go, everything you do. Everything you see right now was done with two hands and a mind.
Without construction, nothing else would exist.
Exactly.
Yep.
But somehow that's bad. No. There's so much good and wealth and learning to work with your hands and your mind. It is part of the key to our mental health issue. And it is. So, what else you got going on?
Well, we're also partnering with ACE Mentoring
in
Charlotte.
Yes.
So ACE is, we got another acronym, Architecture, Construction, and Engineering.
We know that one.
And the ACE program partners with high schools. They go and they mentor students. Well, every year they hold a trades day, so they hit more of that construction part. So we've got 20 of our member companies that are going to be coming in. This is March 24th at the CPCC Harper campus.
Yes.
From 9 to 1:30, we're going to have...
What day is that on?
It's Thursday.
Thursday.
And local high schools are bringing their students in. They're going to go and experience all different types of trades.
March 24th.
This is going to be hands-on experiential. Again, this isn't
hands-on
just...
Hands-on doing what?
All variety of things. Each company that's coming has to have some sort of interactive component.
Yay!
Yes.
No candy.
No candy. That might be after.
Yeah.
I love you. You're great.
We are feeding them. We are feeding them lunch, but no candy. And
pizza.
So they're going to get to come in. We thought we were going to expect 250 to 300 high school students. We think this is blowing up a lot.
And this is the reality that's finally sinking in to educators and teachers and everything. Not that y'all never wanted it. Mm-hmm. You know, now we are waking up. I say it all the time, wake up. Well, you are. Let me slap you again.
We've heard from two teachers, only two so far. And
oh, really?
With those two, they're bringing 100 students.
Wow.
From two.
And that's buses, man. And I've got two buses going to put tools in schools.
Yep.
That's the whole thing. Get them in.
So we're thinking we're going to have to actually cap it at 500 students.
Good.
Because we just won't be able to handle any more than that.
What a wonderful problem.
Well, it's a great problem to have.
What a wonderful problem. So that's March 24th.
Yep.
From 9 to what?
1:30.
Okay. I'm putting it on my calendar.
Okay.
I got to be
there.
Yeah,
we need you there.
I got to be there.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
Yep.
I'm there. Okay. Ace Mentoring, I got it. Okay. At
now,
Harper Campus.
Ace Mentoring, you said that was architecture.
Architectural construction and engineering.
Okay. What does that have to do with the hands-on that they're doing?
So
that they will be doing?
So with the mentoring program, they do a higher focus on the architectural and engineering side of it when they're going and talking with the students. And
right.
They're in there about it.
I'm interested because that's what I do.
Yeah,
yes.
But this
okay.
is the educational, the degree side that
they
orchestrate. And I'm not, that's not a bad thing, not a good thing. It's a thing, okay? And that's what it is. You know, you got architecture, architects, in the upper side. Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
Internships.
I know you know. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So then the way to bring in more of that construction side of it is to have Trades Day.
Got it.
That's absolutely how you got to where you're at, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. So, you know, it works.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
exposure, Ace mm-hmm. Day, that's in your... Bussing people in. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. And the reason it's on a Thursday instead of like a Saturday is because then the schools bus them in.
Oh, yeah. You've got active school day. You know, and the good thing is that is on Harper campus, and it'll be a little bit less rule abiding, if you get my drift. So, and it'll give more freedom to, expression that mm-hmm. day. Because Harper campus is phenomenal anyway. It's just been redone completely, and I'm sitting here talking out unknowingly because I haven't visited the whole thing yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to go see Brian Lucas, who's heading up that division. Brian Lucas is his name, director of the trades area of that stuff. You know, my old buddy Steve Corrier retired. He left us. He just left us. I hadn't talked to him but once. He just went away. I guess that's what you do when you retire. See, when you work in education for so long, it says, I'm done. I got to go. Well, I'm glad to hear these programs. Tremendous.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I ask of you, and y'all have really been great since I met you down in Greenville. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just been super. And what I would like to see is more. This show about your house is part of the mission for this show is to bring people together, the industry together, to give us a platform. Mm-hmm. And George is going to be co-hosting and a part of this show, and we're bringing other people up on the front too. And as you are out doing your thing, keep it in mind, you know, that this can be a sounding board, you know, a little, you know, information dissemination outpost every Saturday morning, because Charlotte is way behind way behind most other counties and cities in the state. It's because we're just behind. I'm going to stop there. And we just got some work to do, you know. So, and it's okay. But who's at stake here? Our kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we could help some parents along the way, that would even be better. And right now we have that opportunity. I'm going to come back and wrap it up, about 15 minutes left here. I'm going to talk about the event and my week. And my brain is spinning because it has blown up. We'll be right back. Amy Hicks, President and CEO of ABC of the Carolinas, as well as Workforce Development Coordinator, head teacher in charge, Ms. Sarah Brigham. And if you're interested in that PACE program, okay, Sarah, real easy, S-A-R-A, without the H, at abccarolinas.org. Okay, send her an email. You don't even need to go to the website. You know, you don't need to do that. Just send Sarah Brigham. Forget the Brigham. You can't spell that one if you tried. Too damn.
That's
many.
Why it's Sarah.
Just keep it simple, stupid. Keep it at Sarah. But anyway, it's a great opportunity for any age. And like she told you earlier, see, this is how things change. All of a sudden, the door's opening up. What's going on? We want older employees now because the workforce is so slack right now with the need is so incredibly big that we're seeing the bigger picture now. And there are a lot of adults out there that are looking for career opportunities and that also never have been exposed to their own creative genius. And really, that's what we're talking about, creative genius in each and every one of us. We're all born with that ability and that great gift. And then you go to school, and they take it away from you. Sad but true. So April 2nd, put tools in schools career day, Titan Solar Power, 1201 Carrier Drive. We want 20 to 40 companies to show up with tools, professional attire, company trucks, preferably washed, no candy, okay? I want you to bring career a handout with your salaries, benefits, opportunities, all listed on a sheet of paper to give the people, and bring tools and toys and engage activities within your trade right there. We're going to show up at about 7 o'clock. We're going to stay there till about 2 o'clock. We're going to put all our stuff back in our little toys and trucks and stuff, toolboxes, and we're going to clean up our mess just like we do on the job sites every day, and we're going to leave. Pretty simple, right? That's pretty easy. The only investment you've got in this is paying or taking care of whoever shows up, whatever that costs you, that's on you. But as far as paying to be there, you don't have to. You have to show up, and if you don't look professional, you might leave as soon as you get there. Because we want shine, don't we? Won't shine?
Sure.
Guys, shine. Yeah, baby, look your best. Put your pretty clothes on, clean. Not the ones you wore Friday before. So anyway, and then that's it. It's that simple. Now, let's take that concept as well. Now, we got all these companies signing up to show up. Ah, database. We're going to go to high schools. We're going to go to high schools and do the same thing with students. And when we come to your high school, for all you educators listening, no, we don't want the kids that aren't going to college. We want all the kids. If you come at me saying, well, I've got 40 kids in my program that need this. No. You got a campus full of kids that need this. The career development coordinators and counselors at high schools, get out the box. Get out of the box they put you in and think beyond the box, okay? Literally outside. Because we can do this. And I want as many students exposed to this as possible because, you know, you got some brainiacs, you know, smart kids that don't like school too, that mm-hmm. don't want to go to college either. Mm-hmm. And they want to put their hands on the tools. And you know what? They're damn good at what they want to do. But, oh, no, they got to go to college because they're smart. That's what's been done over the past 50 years. I've talked to many a career counselor in schools, many a teacher, many a principal through my years. And that's what we've come to do. And I even told a lady one day, a counselor, I said, did you hear yourself just then? You put three buckets in front of us, and you labeled the buckets. These students go in this bucket. These students go in this bucket. These students go in this bucket. You did it. It ain't going to happen. Not with me. They're all the same. Everybody's the same. And that's the way we should approach it. We're lost a lot of time. We ain't got a lot of time to go here. We got to make it happen. Mm-hmm. As industry, we are the driving force to make this happen. Would y'all agree with me? I mean,
100%.
So
we are the change.
You know, we've got to make a difference. So April 2nd, you can go to aboutyourhouseradio.com on the homepage there. Finally got it edited. And the info's on the homepage. Emails, addresses, my phone number's on the homepage. You can go to puttoolsinschools.org, the homepage. That information's right there. We're going to be putting out more information. And here's what we need. I've arranged through Beasley here promotion on 5 FM stations, actually 6, including the Fox Sports station as well. 5. Between March 6th and April 2nd, you can have your name in lights or whatever. You know, on radio. Okay, your name taking care and promoting something very beneficial to our community and well-being of our kids, as well as other adults. That's powerful. Corporations out there with checkbooks, somebody sponsor this thing. Somebody sponsor it. Step up. Industry, we need you. This ain't about me. You ain't writing a check to me. Okay? This is not about me, it's about the industry and, most of all, happiness and purpose for kids growing up needing a happier life. It's that simple. It's that simple. Let's provide that for them. ABC, you can't be there because you're at another event.
I personally can't be there. I'm going to try to get some people to be there.
Well, I hope so.
On behalf of us.
We can make that happen.
Thank you. Well, then you're a green line on the database. Cool. I love it. Another green line. No, actually, I already put you there because I knew, I had faith.
He just knew.
Yeah. I have faith, you know, but I appreciate all you were doing and continue. And hopefully we can get our comrades in the AGC. That's the Association of General Contractors of the Carolinas as well, with over 2,000 members. Did I just say 2,000 members? Wonder if we could get them involved. You think? You know, they're pretty damn big. Anyway, But we, and I'm saying this because we really, really, really need to step up. Mm-hmm. You know, you got any words of encouragement there?
Well, you know, it goes back to that concept of there are so many different organizations doing things. And
fragmented,
and a lot of it does go back to the ego. Someone wants to be the first. They want to be the best or the bigger. But if we take the ego out of it and we do come together, pool our resources, pool our members or our employees together, we can have a bigger voice.
Absolutely. I want to thank both of you for coming in today. And I want to thank George. You've been very quiet today.
Yeah.
Yeah, being
sorry.
He's just hanging out.
No,
don't
be sorry. I love you, brother. I'm glad you came.
I think it was a great show. The guests that we had on, not just here in the studio, but the phone callers, Curtis and Dwayne. It was really good.
Good. George is going to host the show week after next for two shows in a row, 2 weeks in a row. I'm getting on a jet plane Friday morning at 9:00, headed for Cancun, and then down to Cozumel. I've never been seeing that kind of blue water in my life. I'm very excited about it, looking forward to it. But I'm not out of touch to tell you folks I'm getting out and not unplugging. Nah, I wish I could, but not now. Too much going on. There's too much at stake right now. April 2nd, Trades Career Fair. And between mid-March and May, we're going to take companies and we want to go to four high schools in that time. Four high schools, maybe more. It's up to you. It's really up to you, industry. You know, because if you're willing to do it, I'm willing to go out and get the high schools lined up. And, you know, so far it's been up to the teachers and the counselors and all that. Why should it be up to them? Why can't they just have one or two or three people to call and that we can make it happen? And Sarah, she's part of me. She's part of Put Tools in Schools. George here is part of the program. We're all in it. It's that simple. Isn't that pretty easy? And all you need to do to get in touch with Ray Terry is Google Ray Terry, Charlotte, North Carolina. That's all you got to do. Somebody asked me yesterday, how can I get in touch? I said, well, you can go here, you can go here, you can go here. But let me make it simple. Ray Terry, Charlotte, North Carolina. That's it. Everything will show. Damn it. But
attract you.
Anyway, I appreciate all of you. I really do. Thank you, ladies. Will you come back and share more info as we go forward?
We would love to.
Absolutely.
Definitely right. Updates on the program.
You ever done radio, either one of you?
No.
Y'all, neither one done radio?
No.
I'm amazed. You did a fine job. And, George, thank you for being George.
It's great.
Thank you.
I'll see you Thursday night.
No, you won't.
Oh, no. I told people that you'd be there.
No, I have an
engagement.
Okay,
you
got
to go. Okay, I won't see you. I'm sorry. I was looking forward to it. And I will see you in about 4 weeks. 4 weeks. I'll be back 4 weeks, four Saturdays from this Saturday. And, hey, folks, we love you. Thank you all for coming today. Appreciate you. Great show. Powerful show, actually. I'm going to have to process this one. Take me a couple hours. I'm serious. Curtis was awesome. And that man spreading love. That's what this show is all about when it gets right down to it. It's all about love. Loving each other. Compassion. Empathy. Love your neighbors. Love each other. So, hey, go out and love. Hug a tree for me. I'll see you in about 4 weeks, folks. Have a great one. Take care. More on About Your House next week. Jerry Eisenhower's in the house talking to you as Jerry does. See you in 4 weeks. Being in love with someone, yeah.